Hello and welcome to another edition of 99 Questions. I am your host, Bob Buell. This is, of course, an oddly numbered interview show where we ask all sorts of interesting people interesting questions. And join with me today in this very special episode, thanks to her amazingly generous Extra Life donation, the wonderful Dory Ford. Dory, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fantastic. And first off, like I mentioned up top, truly, truly thank you for donating. Extra Life is one of my favorite little charities that I think does a wonderful thing every year. So the fact that I can raise even a little bit of money for them to do these silly shows really means a lot. So absolutely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Sure. Secondly, hey, it's just great to have you on.
Yeah, it's great to do that. I've been looking forward to doing this for a year, so I'm really excited doing this.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
I've been watching your when I listen to the podcast, I know I'm not alone in this. I always think to myself, okay, how would I answer this? So I already know some of my answers, but there's still a couple in my head for the past couple of days. I've been like, all right, how would I answer this? So we'll see. This will be interesting.
Ooh, there might be some curveballs. Maybe I change the whole list. We don't know. Spoiler alert. I didn't. but where would we be without some ground rules and terms and conditions or whatever the heck you call this opening segment? So ground rule number one, you can take as much time or as little time as you need to answer the question. If a short story about your life helps us get a better understanding of the question, I want to hear that short story. Ground rule number two, this isn't 60 minutes. This isn't a Rolling Stone interview. a little reference we'll expand on later. There's nothing, I don't think, too controversial in here. But if you want to pass on anything, you can pass. No worries, no judgment. And ground rule number three, despite the name of the show being 99 Questions, I haven't counted this list in daggum almost 2 years. Who knows how many questions are actually in this thing?
The whole show is a lie.
It's built on a paper foundation, truly. but all I'm saying is, hey, listening at home, you can answer the questions, but don't count them. That's all I'm saying. The first of those non-questions, Dory, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Beautiful. I love it. Question number one. What's the perfect breakfast?
The perfect breakfast is, for me, some French toast, some scrambled eggs, and maybe, like, some chocolate milk, probably. Ooh. Yeah, I really love French toast. I take a strong pro-French toast stance against, not against, but as opposed to waffles or pancakes, which I also appreciate. Just want to put that out there.
There's a lot of waffle supporters with pitchforks.
That's right. In their hands waffle right supporters. Now. I will not waffle on this. I love French toast. One of the first of many puns, I'm sure, in this podcast.
I'll put a little chime in every time.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
We'll get a running tally by the end.
Terrific.
That's a great one, though. Question number two. Who's the coolest dude?
Orange Cassidy. I know not everyone's going to know who that is, but seriously, that was instantaneous for me. The Orange Cassidy is this amazing wrestler from AEW. For those who are listening and don't know, he has just this aura of like not caring about anything, being too cool for everything. And yet his style of wrestling is so incredibly impressive. I don't really think many people embrace the kind of coolness that Orange Cassidy has, the levels of which, and it's just effortless. And it's like, he's gotten his gimmick over so hard with the crowd that everyone loves him. It's terrific. So yeah, it's Orange Cassidy.
Yeah. I can't argue with you. I think a lot of people, even if they don't watch wrestling, might've seen like the gifs of, you know, him wrestling with his hands in his pockets,
yeah,
the leather jacket, the whole deal. And Yeah, huge fan. So much so, I cosplayed as him when I went to Comic-Con.
I was gonna mention it.
And not only did I cosplay as him, I saw and met him and got a photo with him at Comic-Con through sheer happenstance.
I knew this was I know we'll have some questions we will not align on, but this I knew was a safe bet.
This is a home run all the way. This gets a half thumbs up from me.
That's right.
Question three, steak, chicken, or fish?
So I knew about this. I've been thinking about this question. I love chicken and steak, but my partner and I have been trying to be have tried the pescatarian diet for the past maybe half a year or something. Mm-hmm. So I guess de facto it's got to be fish. That said, I love all kinds of fish. I love salmon. I love haddock. I love cod. I love tilapia. There's probably like one other kind of fish I really enjoy too. But yeah, I love fish a lot. I love fish sticks. I love fish fillets. I'm just a big sucker for fish. I enjoy chicken and turkey, and like, don't get me wrong, I'll cheat on my diet every now and then, especially if I have chicken broccoli ziti. But yeah, because of my diet and also just generally, I'll pick fish.
Nice. I'm a big whiting guy. You ever had whiting?
I don't know what that is.
It's just a white fish, but there's a place actually not too far from here that's just a pure fish shop, and they do smoked whiting, and it is so delicious and flaky and so flavorful. For like, it looks so plain and it's so delicious. It's great. Shout out to Lusty Lobster. Good.
What? That listen, a terrible name.
I didn't name it.
Okay. Yeah, they're a
good fish shop out of Highlands, New Jersey. Big shout out. Right. Maybe they'll send me some whiting. Question four, best gift you've ever gotten.
So this is a twofer.
Ooh.
When it was Christmas around 2009, 2010, like late 2000s, early 2010s,
mm-hmm.
I had really wanted a laptop. And I had also really wanted an Xbox. And I had asked my mom and my stepdad for both, not expecting both at all, but just letting them know, hey, like, I'd really love both these things. And that was my first laptop ever. And so they not only got me both those things,
whoa,
which, I mean, just blew me away, because we were not a rich family at all. I mean, we were lower middle class at best, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up poor most of my life, and so I was completely blown away. I don't think I'd ever seen that much of a gift given to me. But they did a flipping treasure hunt out of it. They did literally. They made up riddles, and they like brought me all around the house, and they brought me downstairs where they said your real gift is upstairs. And by the time I got there, they had gotten the actual gifts out from I don't even know where. And had put the laptop and the Xbox there, or whatever it was. Pretty sure it was an Xbox 360. I was flabbergasted. I was so blown away. I couldn't believe they did that for me. It was such a wonderful gift. And it wasn't just like, and it's not just like, oh, these are expensive things, that's why I loved it. It's like me having my own laptop was like such a sign of like me getting older, me having my own sense of independence. I could have my own profiles online. First thing I did was log on to AIM. Shout out to AIM. AOL Instant Messenger. What's up? You're dead. but I like told my friend Sean, I'm like, dude, I have my own laptop, and they got me an Xbox 360 or whatever they got. They got me some console. I'm pretty sure it was a 360 because I never had a PS3. So I was stoked beyond all belief. And then I think I later tried, a couple of years later, I tried to sell that 360 and I got scammed. So,
oh, no,
sad ending to that one. But the laptop I kept for years. I had that, I think, as recently as a couple of years ago. I that thing stayed with me for 10 years or so. And I didn't use it the whole time. I think I used it for 5 or 7 of those years. But I kept it as a kind of memento. But that hinge was falling off. And it was just, I was like, all right, we got to just get rid of this. So a couple of years ago, I laid it to rest. I said, sweet prince, you know, good night. And I ripped off the hinge, and I had all my stuff backed up, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the best gift I've ever gotten.
Kiss the laptop on the forehead.
That's right. Just... It's okay, buddy. It's okay. Gonna put you to sleep now. and I'm going to put you in sleep mode forever.
There it is. Ding. That's great. That's what a phenomenal combo gift. That is amazing. Question five, flipping it around here. Best gift you've ever given.
This is tough. I'm going to be honest, similar to some of my friends in the past, I'm not good at gift giving. I can be very bad about this. I don't think about gift giving. I always worry too about, like, I think video games have poisoned my brain, and that RPGs, you're always giving people gifts to, like, in, like, in Scarlet Nexus, you're always giving people gifts to win their friendship. So I always feel like when I'm giving people gifts, like I'm exacerbating that or something. And like, I get like, I start like having a philosophical conundrum. I'm like, is this the, but anyway, also I'm cheap. So, I mean, that's a side note, but also I'm a very cheap person. I think the best gift I ever gave to someone, the first thing that's coming up in my mind is really recent. So it's definitely recency bias. I mean, I'd probably say, yeah, nothing else is coming to mind, so I guess I'll just say this. But I very recently, my partner and I celebrated our 4-year anniversary. I had been agonizing over what to get her. I kept thinking, like, I got to keep it simple. Just get her flowers and chocolates, and she'll love it. And I'm like, no, but what if that's too simple? Or, like, what if she doesn't like it? I don't remember what kind of flowers she likes. What if they don't have a variety pack? You know, so this, like I said, I get in my own head about
this. This is very JRPG-esque so far, but yes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk more about JRPGs later. that Bob loves and treasures. But yeah, I got her these beautiful rainbow roses with a like a variety pack of chocolates that we ate together immediately. And it was wonderful. It's a very simple gift. It's the most classically traditional romantic thing you could ever do for a partner. And I'm not a very traditional person, but I think it worked out wonderfully. And it's really what comes to my mind.
It's so amazing. That's what I'll say. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There we go. Question six. What did you want to do for a living when you were a kid?
I wanted to do two things. I wanted to be a firefighter. Because I thought they were really cool helping people. I still think firefighters are cool. They're certainly cooler than other other departments. I won't get too political here. Sorry. And then the other thing I wanted to be was an NHL player. I loved hockey when I was a kid. I loved street hockey. One of my biggest accomplishments ever when I was a kid was that I got an assist for a goal in street hockey. I felt like $1 million. I felt like I'd actually done something for the team for once in the season. In reality, I didn't even get the goal. I just got an assist, but I was like, I did it.
You're still on the books. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't even know where those books are, but, yeah, I was super into hockey to the extent that I had, NHL 05 or 06. And I loved playing as the Colorado Avalanche. They were my favorite team. I don't remember why, but they were my favorite. And I loved one particular player. I don't remember his name, of course. Maybe his last name is Bergeron, but maybe that's the Bruins. Anyway, I really loved hockey as a kid. So yeah, firefighter and a hockey player.
Like a laptop and an Xbox. That's a great combo.
That's right.
Question seven is where it gets real. What's the largest animal you can beat in a fight?
Oh, here we go. All right. First off, Stubbs, what the fuck, dude? Like, what the fuck, man? Him, you can beat up, what did he say, a whale, an elephant?
He said he would sneak up and ride an elephant and then brain it with, like, a brick or something. And it's literally the one answer that gets brought up the most on this question, because everyone's like, Jesus, man.
What the fuck, dude? Nobody asked about elephants or braining them. Oh, man, I love you, Stubbs. Love you. We play Kingdom Hearts 2 together, so we're Kingdom Hearts. But anyway, what's the largest animal? Damn. You know, I work with dogs. I have trouble enough keeping track and hold of dogs at times, especially if they're big, but even if there's just a group of small dogs. Biggest animal. I mean, I could probably take like a German Shepherd or something like that, I think. I wouldn't be happy to, but I think I could. Yeah. You know, I don't know, like, I think people think I have like some aversion to defending myself against dogs because like they would get hurt, but I'm like, but nah, like dogs are coming after me. Like there's nothing, there's no problem here.
Fight unless
the dog wants there to be a problem. Right? Like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
So I think I could take a full grown German Shepherd and I could probably win. I think I would have to be really quick and I'd have to like land some precise strikes, which is not my forte. But I think I could get by. I think I'd be okay. But I'm not willing to go any higher than that.
Okay.
I'm a pretty big wimp. But I do know dogs very well. So I think I could beat a German Shepherd.
I believe you. And we're going to main event full gear next year with you versus a German Shepherd. So
that's right.
Let's hope this goes well. Question 8. Who's someone you look up to?
I let's see. Oh man. So I look up to this anarchist and writer named Voltairine de Cleyre. It's actually where I get my pseudonym, my online pseudonym, Doreen Claire. She was an American born anarchist whose parents came from France and America and were very influenced by the philosopher Voltaire and sort of like turned her name into a female version of Voltaire. And so Voltairine, she was an incredible woman. She had, an amount of sympathy for other people that I can only aspire to. She literally got shot by one of her students, because he was basically having a mental breakdown. Boy. And she refused to prosecute him on the stand. And she says, I don't know him. I won't say anything against him. He should not be put in prison. He should be put in a mental, institution and helped. And very sadly, he was not helped very much by the mental institution. Of course, that this is the early 20th century. So you can only imagine what those places were like back then. But she was just an incredible woman. Her poetry is amazing. Her writing is amazing. She's such an inspiration to me. I have, 3 different posters, that are related to her. And then I have a lot of her books. I've worked closely with some people who did research on her to bring more of her writings into focus and online. The New York Times even has a memorial for her. So that's really great if you want to know about more about her. But yeah, incredible woman. She really she helped along with Emma Goldman, another popular anarchist, kind of popularize like birth control becoming more widely available, and talking about like the ways in which sex inequality or gender inequalities were happening at the time. She's just wonderful, wonderful person. So yeah, I really look up to her. That's part of why, you know, that's my pseudonym. I really aspire to be like her. I don't think I'll ever get there, but yeah, that's my aspiration.
That is amazing. What's her name one more time?
So it's Voltairine de Cleyre, and it's spelled like it. My pseudonym is on Discord, but Cleyre.
Wow.
And yeah, that's she's just a terrific person. I think she did a lot of good for a lot of people. She tragically died very young. People are not exactly sure why she died. There's some rumblings that it was syphilis. There were some rumblings that it was some kind of infection from the nose that got really bad. She's the reason I really love Scotland and want to eventually move to Scotland. So
wow.
Yeah, she's very influential person to me.
That seems like a perfect kind of Wikipedia rabbit hole that I will go down after this is done, because
yeah,
I want to learn more. Yeah. Question 9. The first album you bought with your own money.
Love this. I was excited to answer you this. It was either, and I don't know which, I'm pretty sure it was Panic at the Disco's A Fever You Can't Sweat Out in 8th grade, but it could have been. No, it wasn't, because I was in high school. Okay, so it is Panic at the Disco. I think the second album I ever bought was Weird Al Straight Out of Linwood. But the first, I mean, these are classics. Name a more iconic duo.
I'll wait.
I'll wait.
45 minutes of
Panic
silence.
At the Disco. Yeah. That's right. Panic at the Disco, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, is still a classic. Brendan Urie is kind of a dick, but the album's very, very good. I can still pretty much sing all those songs by heart. I love the album so much. I've listened to it. It still really holds up. The lyrics are really great. The titles are incredibly long and amazing. Let me see if I can find a couple of the titles. My favorite is actually very short. It's called Build God and Then We'll Talk. Let's see. But yeah, there's some really good, like the only difference between martyrdom and suicide is press coverage. And then, the one I really love is, let's see, Nails for Breakfast, Tax for Snacks. That's one of my favorites.
They're good.
It's really good. Again, I don't really like Brendan Urie because he's kind of a creep. But the album is excellent. I have a hard time not recommending it to people because it's still really good. And I mean, he's not the only member of the band. So, you know, yeah. Hats off to everybody else. Dallin Weeks, who used to be the bassist of involved in the Panic of the Disco, now has his own project that Kim and I both love called IDK How, But They Found Us, which is a quote from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Where the good doctor goes, I don't know how, Marty, but they found us. So anyway, they're a terrific band too. Dallin is a total hottie. And I really recommend I Don't Know How, But They Found Us, because it's a great kind of 80s retro music group. Anyway, Panic of the Disco, Fever You Can't Sweat Out, absolute pop. I Write Sins, Not Tragedies is a classic, of course.
Oh, phenomenal. And I like the little sly nod to Weird Al in there, too, because, come on, who doesn't love Weird Al? question 10, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Here we go. First reference to this video game.
Oh,
princess.
No.
Anytime I'm ever given a microphone, I will sing Simple and Clean.
Yeah.
On the off chance that at least 5% of the audience will know what the hell I'm talking about. I did it at my alma mater, UNH Manchester, and I did Sanctuary as well, but I probably shouldn't have because less people knew it. But that's okay. I'm cool, okay? I'm not wrong. It's the kids who are wrong. Anyway, just staring at a fence. It's not me. It's the kids. I Simple Clean is definitely my favorite. If I had to pick a second favorite that isn't relevant to Kingdom Hearts, it'd probably be Bulls on Parade. I love that song. It's got such good energy. I am seeing Rage Against the Machine next year. If I die the next day, I will be happy because they are the band that got me political and my favorite band of all time. So
I love it.
Yeah. I don't listen to them as much as I used to anymore. But I'm getting to see them next year with Run the Jewels. They're both coming to Boston.
Ooh, that's a great lineup.
I spent a pretty penny on those tickets, but absolutely worth it. So I'm very excited. But yes, the answer I gave before is the answer I will give now.
The Kingdom Hearts thing.
I don't remember what I said.
It was the Kingdom Hearts thing. We got
Simple and Clean. Yeah. Simple and Clean.
Simple and Clean.
That's how you would describe the franchise, right, Bob? Simple and Clean.
Yeah, simple, with the simplest subtitles of any games humanly possible, a numbering scheme everyone can understand.
Absolutely.
Definitely that. Question 11. Last song you listened to.
This is the last song I listened to.
This question not sponsored by any music streaming service, but get at me.
So we
DMs are wide open.
That's right. We have Alexa at work, and so I listened to. There was definitely some songs after this, but the one I remember is "We Never Changed" by Coldplay. I had that stuck in my head for a little bit. It's off their Parachutes album.
Yeah,
very, very good. I'm here to defend Coldplay. By the way, I love their first album. I love their second album. Their third album is good, and their fourth album exists. And after that, I don't know. But the first three albums, really good. I don't know about Coldplay after that.
About all you need. You got Yellow, you got Clocks. I mean, who needs any more than that, really?
That's right. God, I loved Yellow. I so many of their songs were like, and when I was in high school and I was a sad emo person, I just, so many of their songs, really, especially Trouble and Yellow, really, really struck true for me. I was like, this song's about me and my unrequited love. So. Great. That and Nine Inch Nails. But anyway, We Never Changed by Coldplay.
Great choice. Question 12. What's a band or musical artist you want to hear more from?
This is a great question. So Deftones, one of my favorite bands of all time, collaborated with another band with an unfortunate name, Isis. And they had,
who could have predicted for that? You know?
Yeah, you know, it was before that happened. It was before it happened. Yeah. They actually, it's funny, they got some death threats and stuff in the email. It's not really funny, but it's darkly funny. They got a lot of death threats because they're like, ah, fuck you, you're destroying America's way of life. And they're like, we're a band and also we're discontinued. What are you talking about?
Someone did one Google search and just found the wrong result and just decided to go with it anyway, basically.
So they are a band called Palms. I had to look them up because I couldn't remember. But they've only come out with one album. I've heard murmurings that they're coming out with a second, and please, I need that in my life. Chino is one of the best vocalists of all time, metal or otherwise. Isis is incredible at instrumentation. Their album is incredible. I really recommend it. I think that they're coming out with another album. I would love to see it. They had a remake. They had a remix of their album come out, or of a song come out. But yeah, they haven't done much since 2013, 2014. I would love to see another album from them. That would make my day.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. Question 13. What's a song that brings the most emotion out of you?
Oh boy. So the band Daughter, I don't listen to them a lot, but they fuck me up a lot. There's a song that they have called Tomorrow. Oh, this is going to be a very sad story. I'm sorry.
No, it happens.
I was dating someone and I hadn't talked to them in a day, like over the span of a day. And I was listening to Daughter's song called Tomorrow. And the main line of the song is, you know, don't bring tomorrow because I already know I'll lose you. And I was listening to that song and I was like, you know, I hope everything's okay between us because they haven't responded to my messages. They haven't said anything. And I figured it was just my anxiety because I have a lot of anxiety. And the next day, which was Thanksgiving, they broke up with me. Mm. They are an amazing person. Well, I'll probably talk about them later, actually, when we talk about friends that you wish you could keep in touch with. They are an amazing person, so this is nothing against them. But this took me into really dark places. They had very good reasons for doing what they did. And, you know, I don't blame them in the least. It was a mess of like, it was a mess of a situation. And yeah. So I always associate that song with that. And I don't listen to Daughter a lot, safe to say. I've listened to him a couple times, and I don't listen to him much anymore because it hurts a lot to listen to that. I don't cry to a lot of songs, but I've cried to that song. So that's the one right there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah,
it right to the gut. I hear you. 14, favorite music video.
Oh man. I think actually now that I bring up, I don't know how, but they found us. I love their music videos. Their music videos are so fun. Mm. The one especially that they have for, I'm not going to say that like, this is my favorite of all time. I'm sure you could find another. I do also love Baby Come Back. That's one of my favorite music videos of all time.
Yeah.
I that was like them and Andrew Garfield was part of me figuring out that I wasn't straight. Very, very weird mix of things.
Yeah.
But Amazing Spider-Man 1 and Baby Come Back were a very, very strong mix of like, oh, maybe I'm not straight. Amazing. I love Baby Come Back. That music video is just pure 70s or 80s cheese.
Oh, yeah.
IDK Howe has a really good music video. And I forget what song it's for, but the bass line in it is like really excellent. It's called Do It All the Time. I really love that music video. I would say those two are really high up there for me.
Great.
You know what? You know what I also love? Okay. Shout outs to Taylor Swift for Blank Space. One of my favorite music videos of all time as well. I don't care what the haters say. T-Swift goes hard on 1989. That's a great album.
Listen, you go 1989, you go Red. People give Taylor Swift a lot of flack, but she's got more hits than she got misses. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what? I just feel like some of her exes deserved songs, okay? You know, some of her exes may have deserved songs just a little bit.
I think most exes deserve songs. But listen, I'm on my own island here. Who knows?
Animal Crossing?
That's a ding. I can't wait to edit this and actually put all those digs in. It's going to be so
excellent.
Good.
Excellent. I'm excited.
I love a runner through an episode. Question 15. Got $1 million, but you have to donate it all to charity. What charity is it going to?
Oh, this is super easy for me. I mean, anything that gives money to LGBT folks or helps survivors of sexual assault, anything like that. So, I mean, RAIN or Trans Lifeline, the Trevor Project, anything like that. I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Trans Lifeline just because the rate of suicides for trans folks is so disproportionately high. That'd probably be my first priority. But I mean, any of those charities would be a good cause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Question 16. Favorite holiday?
This is easy. Halloween.
Ooh,
and okay. I did not care. I'm sorry. Oh man, I'm gonna get in flat. I hope he doesn't. Please don't listen to this podcast. I'm so sorry, Brendan. I really have to disagree with you on Halloween. I love Halloween. Wearing masks is fun and cool. You don't have to wear something that makes you sweat. There's a lot of different materials you can wear. I thought that was a weird criticism. It's cool to be spooked and scared. So like, I don't know. I love Halloween. The weather is usually wonderful, you know, global warming aside. And,
global what now?
I don't know what you're talking about. It sounds like a liberal myth. But anyway.
How is it cold if everything's getting warm? Right.
If it's, yeah, exactly. But yeah, I love being able to dress up. I love the weather. Kim and I have a tradition of watching 15 scary movies. And then we also like go to the theaters and watch spooky movies that come out that month. I mean, candy, it's just an excuse to eat candy. Halloween parties are usually a lot of fun. People get all dressed up and creative. It's Halloween. I mean, it's a slam dunk. There's nothing that even comes close to it, honestly. I mean, I think like maybe Thanksgiving second, but that's only because you get to eat so much food and you get to hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe Christmas slotting in at the third spot. After that, I don't think there's anything I even really count, just because there's nothing really I super care about in terms of holidays after that.
I mean, that's a slam dunk right there. Yeah. The weather, that's a great point that no one brings up about Halloween.
Yeah,
because everyone goes candy, everyone goes party, but that perfect like 71
cool, crisp weather,
68
apple degree. Cider,
come
apple
on,
cider, come on, apple cider, come on,
pumpkin spice, everything, just feed it to me.
Basic white girl is Bob.
I got no complaints. All right, question 17. What's your go-to drink? Oh, maybe I precluded it here. What's your go-to drink when you walk into a coffee shop?
So you already precluded it so that I yeah,
as I mentioned pumpkin spice, we go, what's your go-to drink when you walk into a coffee shop?
Coffee shop, I mean, I don't drink coffee, but I do drink tea. If I had to pick a type of tea, it'd probably be chamomile.
Nice.
Otherwise, like, my go-to drink is probably like, I don't know, I'm super boring. Like water, or like if there are sodas available, my favorite soda is Barq's root beer. I love Barq's.
Totally agree.
It's got bite.
I literally got a water right here and I got a root beer in the fridge. Nice. So I can get behind this. 18. Here's where it gets controversial. Spell the word gray.
Motherfucker. I was like, wait, what's happening?
Gets big. It's juicy here.
All right. The word is how it sounds. I'm not into this whole gray is a color and gray is a mood. No, 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 no. We're not doing this. Okay. It's certain spellings in North America and it's certain spellings in the UK. But look, we won that war. They can fuck off with their whole gray thing. It's G-R-A-Y. Case dismissed.
Da, 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 da. amazing. Question 19. What's your prized possession?
Oh, gosh. A couple of years ago, I would have said my bass guitars, but unfortunately, I sold them, not for monetary reasons, but just because, you know, I just didn't play the bass anymore. It was kind of pointless to keep them around. COVID kind of hit. One of my friends and I were gonna start a band called Mental Breakdown.
Good name.
You know, because something both of us can relate to. And then the fucking pandemic happened. And I'm not saying obviously that's not the worst thing that could have that happened because of the pandemic or didn't happen. But yeah, it was a pretty big blow for us. We had already thought about, you know, doing some meme songs and stuff like that, you know, like the Killers, you know, it's killing me.
I still like this idea a lot, but yeah.
Unfortunately he's in New Hampshire now and I'm in Boston. So yeah. And the pandemic's still fucking going. So I would have said my bass guitars, but that's no longer true because I don't even have them anymore. Looking around. Oh man. Yeah, it's probably my PS5. I didn't say that. I don't have a PS5. Don't at me.
I see 50 Twitter users jumping through your window reaching for it.
Wait a second. No. Yeah, it's probably my PS5. I love my PS5 a lot. The dual sense controllers are amazing.
Yeah.
Haptic feedback and blah 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 are great. Yeah, it's probably up there because it's not just like because it's a PS5, but it took months. I've never had this experience, even with the Wii. Even when the Wii was at the top of its popularity, I got it pretty early on. Now, I did have my mom, you know, it was kind of an inside job, everybody, because my mom worked at Target and she was like, I know how to get you in. And, you know, but we have to get up at 4 a.m. And I was like, Mom, I accept this mission. I didn't say that, but, you know, you can imagine.
As you put on and this sunglasses. Person,
that's right. That's right. You know, looks like it's something we will do.
Yeah.
Some person like really wanted to be number one in line and I was like, yeah, okay, we were number one in line, and they were like, oh, I really want to be the first one to get it. Is it okay if I like, you know, cut you in line? And I'm like, sure, we're all getting it unless they only have like, yeah, go ahead, like I don't care.
How cruel of Target if they only had one Wii, like
that's right.
That would be incredible.
Like, a supervisor just comes down from the sky. I only have but one Wii to give. Fight amongst yourselves. Yeah. Just tosses it.
He hands out knives and bats and just says, go.
That's right.
There is one.
There's only one. But yeah, my PS5 probably. It took me so long to get. It's a great it was a great purchase. I got two controllers. I got like some gift cards from it. I have already so many great memories of having it for like the half a year I've had it. Something like that. So yeah, PS5.
Great answer. 20. Are you competitive?
Not usually, but if you get me in a game of dodgeball, I'm gonna talk smack.
Ooh.
And I don't know why, but I get super competitive when dodgeball happens. Pre-pandemic, I played dodgeball with my family and my partner. And I can never wear my glasses because they're always going to get, you know, messed up.
Yeah.
And so I always just get, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me compensating for the fact that I'm fucking blind without my glasses. But I'm like, come on, let's do it. Let's bring it. And I can't throw well. I can't catch well. But I talk a mean game. And really, isn't that half the battle?
That's
so, yeah, I'm very selectively competitive. I don't get competitive during video games. I don't get competitive during, I don't know, D&D. I don't get competitive. You're not supposed to, right? But yeah. I don't really get competitive in general. But
I role play better than you did.
That's right. If you get me in a game of dodgeball, I am going to talk smack, and I will not apologize for it.
I love it. I love it. I love going into things that I'm actively bad at and talking all the trash in the world.
Oh, yeah. Because and I know that I'm shit at it too. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, if I talk a mean game, people are going to think I'm really good, even though it's my family and they know I'm not very athletic at all.
Maybe it's like the inner wrestling fan in me, but there is something cool about me knowing that I'm going to trash talk like I'm the champion here. And as soon as I lose, I'm going to make a whole show of that too and make them feel
I'm
better.
Be like, you cheated. You cheated. I don't have my glasses on. You cheated.
I was robbed. Question 21. Do you consider golf a sport?
Golf is a really convenient excuse for rich white people to section off a lot of land so homeless people can't have it. That's really my hot take on that. It's not even a hot take because George Carlin said it first back in the 90s. So it's not even really a hot take. It should be a room temperature take at this point. I guess golf is a sport, but it's really a rich white person sport. With the exception of Tiger Woods, who else do you see play golf that is not white and incredibly wealthy? Funny story about Tiger Woods, by the way. This isn't going where you think it is.
Oh boy.
But there's like a car that has T Woods. And I walk by it sometimes while I'm walking the dogs. Huh. I'm a dog walker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I can't believe I live so close to Tiger Woods. Like, I do that in my head every time. And in the back of my head, I'm like, you know, that's not funny, right? But like, it's just like, it's so weird. Like, why does somebody have on the back of their license plate, like T Woods? I don't understand. The back of their car.
It's so bizarre. Yeah.
But anyway, I guess it's a sport. It technically involves physical activity. The walking, the hitting the ball. I think it's a poor excuse for a sport, though.
Field hobby.
That's my compromise position. It's a sport, but it's a poor idea of a sport.
The D-tier sport. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
22. Have you ever played any sports?
Yeah. When I was younger, I played street hockey, like we talked about a little earlier. I also played soccer. I played a lot of soccer. Ooh. When I was young. That was the sport I really gravitated towards. I really gravitated towards those like lower echelon sports, soccer and hockey. I don't know why. I think I started playing soccer in middle school, and then I went until or maybe late elementary school and then middle school. I met one of my childhood best friends from it. And I had a lot of good experiences. I had a lot of bad experiences too. Unfortunately, I wasn't very athletic. The teams I were on usually sucked. I flipped out on a video game, and so I didn't get to go to our party afterwards, which really sucked. I think it was like Jedi Outcast or something, like one of those Star Wars Jedi games with Kyle Katarn.
Yeah,
I was so pissed because I couldn't figure out where to go, and this was like, you know, the day of the internet, but like not really, like in terms of FAQs and stuff. You didn't know what to look up, but the game fact didn't exist or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have some very bad memories of soccer. I'm autistic. I had like an autistic meltdown when I was a teenager because they decided to spray everyone with hairspray right on everyone's heads and faces without telling anybody it was going to happen. And so I just, it was like some kind of like, again, some kind of like final celebration of like the season or something.
That's a
and so they just
weird
did like
celebration, but okay.
I know. It was like hairspray or like whipped cream or something or something. Ugh. On everybody's hair. And so I just like didn't expect it. And I just like freaked out. That was super fun. Ended up having to, go to a mental hospital basically for a while because of it. So that was super fun. Thanks for that. I don't know. Like I gravitated towards those sports. I never really did baseball or football. My uncle really wanted me to. He always wanted me to be really involved in sports. Actually, he offered to buy me a PS3 if I ran for the track team because he knew I could at least do that. So I tried it out. I didn't even make it halfway through the practice run. And I was like, nah. And I walked back home.
I imagine you like just stopping dead in the middle of the track and just going, no. Just exiting, yeah. Bailing. Like,
yeah, I just exit stage left. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go through this cornfield. I don't care. Like, I'm done. I don't know why I'm saying cornfield. It was in Malden, Massachusetts, but whatever. Yeah, I was done. I was like, this is not worth a PS3. I don't even care that much. So yeah, I did do sports when I was younger, but it stopped around a little before high school.
Gotcha. 23, favorite sport to watch?
I guess this is a layup, right? Professional wrestling?
Mm.
If you consider that a sport, I know it's sports entertainment, pal. But you know, I don't know. There's nothing else I would really watch. I used to watch hockey when I was younger. but I don't really do that anymore. It's professional wrestling, if you consider that a sport, without a doubt. I've really had my love for professional wrestling reinvigorated because of AEW.
Yeah.
It started because Kim and I were watching free WWE content on YouTube because I can't, I cannot justify giving them any money through Peacock for so many reasons. God, I could name all the reasons, but I will not. And I will stay positive. And so I watched a lot of free matches. And I was like, man, I really still love wrestling. And like, so Kim started to get into it. I started getting into it. I'm like, what's the landscape of wrestling right now? And I was like, okay, WWE, this is back in late 2019. No, not late 2019, late 2020. I was like, you know, what's going on in wrestling? And I was like, you know, WWE is still doing stuff, I guess. And I was like, AEW, what's this all about? And so I already knew Alex at the time. And so he'd already been talking it up, and you've been talking it up a little bit. And so we got together, we all watched Orange Cassidy beat Chris Jericho in a mimosa match. I remember that. Brilliant. And I was like, this is pretty good. Like, it's not what really what I remember from wrestling, but I like it a lot. And like, we watched a couple other matches I thought were really good. And that was Full Gear in 2020. And then it took me like a couple weeks, but I was like, hey, Kim, like, we should try checking out AEW. And so we did. And, you know, at first I watched AEW through certain means, which I will not name, of course. I legally supported them all the way through, of course, but especially in December/January. But of course, I was legally supporting them the whole time.
Absolutely.
I remember when Sting came out and I flipped. I was like, this is something incredible is happening here. They got Sting. How is that even possible? And so, yeah, these days, you know, I have Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select as one of my pages I visit the most. I think he's so insightful. He's such a good dude. This is not sponsored by Fightful Select or Fightful.
Not yet.
Not yet. But he's such a good dude, and I love a lot of his content. And he partly got me into wrestling, too. And it got me more into the backstage scene of, like, you know, how things were behind the scenes and like what led to certain decisions. You know, people who are going to debut, people who aren't going to debut. That whole thing has taken up a lot of my time lately, and I've really loved it. I really love following the backstage stuff. It makes everything way more exciting.
Yeah.
I really don't buy that whole thing of like, if you look too much at what goes on behind the scenes, it ruins the magic. And like, no, it just deepens the magic, and it like gives it extra layers. Kim and I went to an AEW show in Boston recently. I mean, I got to see Leo Rush. I got to see CM Punk. I got to see Dante Martin. I got to see Brian Flippin' Danielson.
Yeah.
I got to see John Moxley just before he left to go into rehab. Much love to Mox. I got to see so many excellent wrestlers. I got to see Kenny Omega and the Bucks. I got to see Dark Order and Hangman. Happy National Cowboy Shit Day. I'm such an AEW mark, and like, I won't apologize for it. I love Impact too. I think Impact does a lot of wacky stuff really well. It's absolutely, as you can tell, it's professional wrestling by a mile. You already knew that though.
Listen, I could talk wrestling all day, and I have in various mediums. but yeah, they're killing it.
Calm down, nerd. Okay. It's not the place for that. That's a crossover joke.
Eric is sending us a cease and desist as we speak.
No, Eric, no, don't be like Nintendo.
24 theme parks.
Yes, but in very limited capacities because I'm an absolute baby, I recently discovered. I went to Canopy Lake with Kim a year or two ago. No, 2 years ago, a little bit before the pandemic started. And I found out I'm an incredible baby about most things. I don't know where my adventurous spirit as a kid went, but it is just gone, gone, gone. I went on that pirate ship, you know, the one that goes up back over.
Yeah,
it goes like way high. I was screaming. I was like, get me off this. Oh, my God. Get me. Oh, my God. We're so high. Oh, my God. It's going even higher. Please stop this. And Kim was just like laughing. She's laughing right now, the motherfucker. Love you, sweetie. And then we went on another ride. I think the rooster ride or something, where we went around really fast, and I was getting pretty nervous on that one too. So yes, theme parks, I love them, but in very limited capacities.
That's fair. The pirate ship. Oh, that's great. Question 25. Dubbed the Ron Bennington after famous radio personality. You're standing in a wrestling ring, and a wave of nine-year-olds, a random mix of boys and girls, are coming down to the ring to fight you. How many nine-year-olds can you beat in this fight?
This is one of my favorite questions.
It's always a thinker.
So who is Ron Bennington? So he's a radio personality. Yes. So he came up with this question?
I can't say for sure he came up with it. But I've always been a big fan of radio, which is why I love doing this show so much. And he was a co-host of the Ron and Fez show from like 1996 until like 2015. And now he, in fact, does a radio show with his daughter called Bennington. And I am a huge fan of both of those. And one of their more famous segments, from back in the day is him and his co-host Fez Watley discussing this exact scenario of how many nine-year-olds you can beat up.
Wow.
So when I was coming up with a list of questions, this had to make the list.
I've just given everyone a lot of 99 questions lore, so I need a lot of thank you, Dory, in the chat. I care about lore. Lore is important.
Yeah.
And Kingdom Hearts joke somewhere in here. All right. How many nine-year-olds could I take in a wrestling ring? Look, I hope you don't take this out of context, but I used to beat up my little brother as a kid a lot. In wrestling, you know, not seriously beat him up, obviously, but he was pretty easy to beat up, you know, for a long time. And he still kind of is a wimp and easy to beat up at 18. So he's just not a physically built person, and neither am I. But anyway, so he was pretty easy to beat up. I think I could beat. Oh, man. I think I could beat 10 nine-year-olds, I think. If I was in like tip-top form, I knew what I was doing, I think I could beat at least 10 nine-year-olds before they just started swarming me and beating me up.
Yeah. After that, it's a numbers game. You know, it's a
pure numbers game. I mean, it's wrestling maths. You know, you add one more 11-year-old, you've got a 30% chance. You add another one, you've got a 50% chance. And then you add me being really tired. That's a 12th and 2/5 chance. Anyway, I had to do that promo. I had to do it.
This 9-year-old thinks he's going to win at Sacrifice, but I know.
That brings me up to 50% again. You know, the funniest thing about that promo is that Kurt Angle was actually sick and he couldn't make it. And so, of course, you could say kayfabe-wise, Kurt Angle knew that he wouldn't win. Anyway.
Thanks to Scott Steiner math, the most.
God damn it. Love Scott Steiner. I think they recently made a reference to that on NXT 2.0. I think Braun Breaker recently made that as a reference to his. I don't know why. I was talking to this about a friend today. I just don't understand. Put the Steiner name on him. I don't understand what we're doing here.
His name was literally Rex Steiner. Like, it's the most wrestling name ever. And they just were
how are we botching this, Bob? Like, God, I could.
He's got all the talent in the world, but like,
yeah.
Why just change his name and never acknowledge that he has
everything I've heard Hall of Fame parent. Just is great about him. I mean, really, what they should have done with Adam Cole is they should have shortened his name to Adam and just cut off his hair, make him manager.
Make him a manager.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, wait. But Keith Lee's gone, isn't he? Oh.
There's no one for him to manage.
No one for him to manage unless at Revolution. Anyway,
get the Tony Gabagool or whatever that new guy in NXT is.
Hey, it's Tony. I'm a ripoff of the Sopranos. We're not even trying to hide it. Hey.
Vince watched that whatever it's called, Last Night in Newark, or that Sopranos prequel, and just went make a gimmick.
God.
26. What's a game you know you can win?
I mean, I guess this goes back to earlier with dodgeball, right? At least I think I can win. A game I know I can win. I mean, I want to say dodgeball, but I don't think I know. I don't think I actually think I know I can win. Wow, that was a complicated sentence. I think I want to think that I know that I can win. Does this even make any sense at this point?
Want to think. Hold on, I'm setting up a chart to decipher this sentence.
Wait a second. He's getting out the graphs. I don't know. I guess it's dodgeball just because of my overconfidence that I get. But I mean, realistically, I could probably be pretty confident about like if I did a speed running competition between me and your average person in Kingdom Hearts 2, I would be very confident I could win that because I recently got a time of 4 hours and 41 minutes on beginner. So I'd be very confident I could beat anybody's time who is not themselves a speedrunner.
I believe you
if
could.
They are a speed. Yes, if they are a speedrunner, then I don't know. It's very dicey, but yeah.
27. What topic can you discuss the most? Oh no. There's a slow, evil smile appearing in Car Story's face right now that the listeners can't see.
I'm sorry, Bob. I had to do it to you. It's pro. No, I'm kidding. It's Kingdom Hearts. I mean, I could talk pro wrestling forever too. You know, again, I'm autistic, so I have my special interests. But yeah, we've been joking about Kingdom Hearts a lot lately. I really do legitimately love the series a lot. I think it's part of. This is going to get kind of heavy for a second, but it's part of what really saved my life in 2017. I was in a really, really bad place mentally. And I had just gone through really bad experiences. Some of which completely my fault and some of which not. But I was in a really bad place and I tried to get back into video games because I really wanted to have some fun doing something besides thinking about politics all the time. And so I, you know, tried out the Kingdom Hearts franchise because I loved it as a kid. And Kim and I had just started dating and she wanted to play it too. So, you know, Kingdom Hearts was really there for me in terms of like reminding me that I could smile, that I could laugh, that I could, you know, still like kind of conceive of like it sounds weird, but like still like understand like what it means to be a good friend, like what it means to be a good person to other people. And supportive and stuff like that. It was really there for me in a time where I really needed it. I also just think the games are largely good, or if not good, at least incredibly bizarre and wacky in ways that I really appreciate. I don't think they're like perfect. I don't think that they're uncriticizable, but I am known by many to be a big Kingdom Hearts stan. And yeah, I could talk about Kingdom Hearts forever. I did a 3-minute presentation at one point about explaining all of the Kingdom Hearts lore prior to Kingdom Hearts 3.
Wow.
I've talked about it in Eric's podcast, which we mentioned previously, Calm Down Nerd. You know, I love it. I love it a lot. I've spent a lot of time getting really good at Kingdom Hearts 2 speedrunning, at Kingdom Hearts 3 boss fights and Kingdom Hearts 2 boss fights. I've met a lot of friends over it. It's just a very important part of my life. At this point, it's something I really cherish, and I'm really looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 4, where I'm sure Nomura will finally put Kairi in the main slot, and he won't sideline her again because he cares about the female characters. Anyway, that's okay. That's fine. We're all fine here.
I don't even know what any of that meant, but at least the last part. The other stuff I could appreciate how much it meant.
Yeah.
But listen, just not, you know.
That's okay. It's okay. Just don't be like Hansen and call it a toilet lid. No, you haven't even played any of the games. That's what gets me. People who have never played the games and call the series trash. If you played the series or at least tried one or two and like, look, this series not for me. I don't really like the combat. That's totally fine. You don't have to like it. But if you are just looking from the outside in and you're looking at some random, I call them jifes, or random YouTube videos, and you're like, well, that's obviously nonsense. This is a stupid game that obviously only babies would like. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, why are you crapping on other people's, you know, likes? Like, you know, don't yuck my yum.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, is Kingdom Hearts for me? No. Can I have an equally sized rant about the Metal Gear Solid story and sound like a complete nerd myself? Yeah. So,
and that's what gets me, because you never hear people complain. At least I never hear it in my social circles. Maybe this is just selection bias. I never hear people talking shit about Kojima and like that convoluted mess of a Metal Gear franchise. Also, which I love, by the way. Also, which I love.
Yeah.
But like, you never hear people talking about it like they talk about Kingdom Hearts. It's always Kingdom Hearts for babies. it's, you know, I think it's really the cartoon anime effect where people are like, oh, this is for kids. Yeah. And it's like, if you played Rechain of Memories or you watched 358 over 2 days, you would know probably not, because there's a lot of death and there's a lot of depression and sadness and gaslighting. And like, it's just, there's some really heavy shit. And like, Aqua literally spends 10 years in the Kingdom Hearts equivalent of hell and suffers from PTSD in Kingdom Hearts 3. So it's like, you know, there's a lot more going on here than just, ooh, pretty colors and Mickey Mouse is in it.
Yeah. No, and
anyway, that's what bothers me.
I fully respect it. Ow. 28, favorite place you visited?
It's probably Colorado.
Ooh.
Probably Colorado.
Home of the Avalanche. My
partner and I went to Colorado a couple years ago for a road trip, again, pre-pandemic. And it was part of this big road trip we did. You can find me on some sort of news program at one point, because our campsite in Nebraska, I think it was Nebraska, it had gotten flooded. And were not completely prepared or whatever. So we had to sleep in the car. And so a reporter interviewed me and her, and then, well, mostly me, and then also interviewed someone else who was in a camper or something, was completely prepared. So it was this very funny dichotomy between me, who was like, yeah, this sucked, and the other guy was like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't fun, but it was fine, like, whatever. I'm a retired army vet, this is nothing to me. And then meanwhile, I'm glowering into the camera like, this was awful. But yeah, Colorado was amazing. Their pizza sucks, don't get their pizza. They amazing bison burger, and just great bookstores. There was a weird smell in the air. Well, you know, when we were there, I'm not sure if I can place it, but definitely a weird smell.
Probably
in the air.
Oregano. Sure.
Probably the oregano. Probably fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's all fine. But yeah, it was a wonderful place to visit. We went up this big trail. We took a shortcut down like a side of like a hill or something, and thought we were gonna die, but we didn't. It was fun. Colorado was amazing, and it was just so cool, just the mix of like nature and industrial stuff, cities and whatnot.
That's awesome. 29, what's your catchphrase?
God, Speedy, do you have a catchphrase? we talked about this last week, right?
Yeah.
You totally talked about this last week. I was like, Sweetie, do I have a catchphrase? And she's like, and she gave one out and I don't remember. I probably do.
Do the thing with, I don't even know her.
Oh, yeah, I do make the I don't even know her joke a lot. I don't know if that's a catchphrase, but I do say like, you know, conveyor, I don't even know her, you know, kind of joke.
Yeah.
Usually I'll do it when it doesn't even make any sense. Those are usually better. But I don't know if that's a catchphrase. It is a joke I make often, but I'm not sure if it's a catchphrase. I don't really think I have a catchphrase. You know, I say phrases often, but not usually in like a way that like is trying to convey entertainment value, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Don't know her. Johnny. 30, what's the best costume or cosplay you ever wore?
I haven't done too many in my life. I was a ninja as a kid. Ooh. That was really fun. I was like a cultural worries aside in retrospect. You know, it was pretty cool costume.
Yeah.
I was also Batman, and I wore leggings or tights for that. I think my best though is definitely Butterfree.
Whoa.
I have this dress. It's like a purple and white dress, and it's got lots of pockets.
Nice.
And it's basically like Butterfree if the colors of Butterfree were a dress. And I had it custom made for me. It's based on artwork that basically helped me figure out I was trans when back in 2016, 2015. But it's basically like a Caterpie, a Metapod, and then a Butterfree. But instead of that, it's a little boy who looks unhappy, and then a little boy like in a hoodie, And then the Butterfree is like a woman who's like very happy and like obviously very pleased with herself. And so that was like a big awakening for me in terms of like realizing I was trans. So that probably I had, that was around 2017 actually, when I was going through that really dark time, and someone at a convention told me that I looked really beautiful. Apropos of nothing.
Yeah.
And I that was like such a sweet moment for me, because like I was super down. I wasn't even feeling like going. I remember I was like listening to Beastie Boys on the way there, and I was like just trying to get myself pumped up and cheer myself up. And yeah, somebody just said I looked beautiful, and that was very sweet. And I still remember that compliment.
Isn't it wild how you always remember that like one compliment when you really needed it? Just like,
for sure.
Oh, I love that stuff. 31. Have you ever had something named after you?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think some of my friends sometimes joke with me if like I remember something and then forget it or something like that. But like, yeah, I've never had like a food or anything Bob Buell named after me. No hot dogs that I can think of.
It's a high honor for me, let me tell you.
It really is.
The Buell hot dog? It's too good. Question 32. Hobby you've dedicated the most time to?
God, it's video games by a landslide, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to say it's D&D, but it's D&D is never going to catch up to video games. I pretty much average out the D&D time to video game time per week, and I have so many years that I played video games that I didn't play D&D. So yeah, it's video games by a long shot. I started playing video games when the Sega Genesis was out, or at least it was a couple of years old. So yeah, D&D is never catching up.
Yeah, you kind of got to do D&D as a full-time job to be able to catch up to that.
And I would love that, Bob, by the way. One of my dream jobs.
Brendan, get in the comments. Offer us a job in the comments, I guess is what I'm saying. Sure.
Get in the comments.
33. There's a celebrity you've had a crush on.
God, I'm pansexual. Who's a celebrity I haven't had a crush on, honestly?
You got your pick of the litter here.
It's a bevy of options, a bouquet of options. There's so many celebrities that I think are just drop dead gorgeous. I mean, let's talk about Andrew Garfield, right? Andrew Garfield is a handsome, handsome man. I realized that I was not straight while watching him and Emma Stone make out in Amazing Spider-Man 1, I think it was. And I was just like, man, she's really hot. And I was like, wow, he's kind of hot too. And I was like, oh, so I had that moment, and that was fun.
Amazing.
And I was watching this on TV. It wasn't like I was in the theaters having this. I was just casually watching it on TV or some shit. But yeah, I mean, there's so many celebrities I find attractive. I'm trying to think of who played Catwoman in
Halle Berry.
Not Halle Berry. She's very attractive too. Yeah. But Catwoman in The Dark Knight Rises. Can't remember
her name. Hathaway. What's her name?
Yeah, yeah.
Anne Hathaway?
Anna Hathaway.
Yeah.
Total babe. Yeah. Like, really attracted to her. I'm really picky about guys. So I have a harder time coming up with guys that I find attractive. But Michael B. Jordan, oh my God. I definitely had an awakening when I watched Black Panther. I mean, not that kind of awakening, because I already knew I wasn't straight. Yeah. But I was like, damn. I was like, Michael B., coming over here, I hope. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's perfect.
Michael B. Jordan, please, if you're available, give me your number. I am polyamorous. My partner is probably okay with it. I'll have to discuss details, but please call me up. Anyway,
we'll discuss details later.
Yeah. We'll discuss details. My people will talk to your people.
Question 34. What's the strangest job you've ever had?
Actually, my first job.
Oh,
I did a under the table. Don't tell the government, Bob. I did an under the table job for a couple friends. It was the weirdest fucking stuff. I was clearing out dirt from the foundation of a home with no discernible real purpose. Like, I think they were trying to do renovations, but nothing ever came of it. It was all very shady. And like, I never really learned what ended up happening. But that's probably the weirdest, because everything else was just retail. I did retail for 10 years, and then I worked with dogs for 5. None of that was particularly weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess working at like a Kohl's in a mall that was pretty much half dead was kind of a weird job. That first job was just very strange.
Yeah. Mysterious debris removal? Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. It was a friend of a friend situation too, so it wasn't even someone I knew super close. It was kind of like, I don't know, it was weird. He was really into John. I was thinking about this the other day. He was really into I think his name's John Waters or something like that. The guy from Pink Floyd. I can't remember his name.
The band Pink Floyd, or
yeah, the band Pink Floyd. And one of the musicians. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But he had a solo career. He was really into his albums and stuff like that. Anyway, someone's gonna hate me in the comments, but that's okay. You don't even have comments. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
They'll get in the comments. They'll find comments.
Get in the comments. Sorry, Brendan. I'm not stealing your shtick. Please don't sue me. You have so much more money than I do. So much more.
35, book you'd recommend the world to read.
This is a layup. I even have it right here.
Oh.
The Curious Incident of the Dog of the Nighttime. One of my favorite books of all time. It's about an autistic boy who is struggling with the fact that his father doesn't live with him anymore. And he wants to go meet him. The author is not actually autistic, which I usually would have a big problem with, but he worked with autistic kids and he knew them very, very well. And he did a lot of research. So the depiction of autism in this book is just incredible. And I think it would give anybody who doesn't understand autism a better understanding. So I super recommend that book.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wordy title, but that's me. You know, I love my math rock and my post rock. But Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's also been made into a play. I would love to see that play at some time, some point, but I haven't yet.
Yeah. 36, movie that always makes you laugh.
Princess Bride. Every time, all the time, every year. I would watch Princess Bride for the rest of my life if I had to. I grew up watching that. I love that movie so much. It is such a special place in my heart. The only movie that is above it is A New Hope, Star Wars. But other than that, I mean, Princess Bride is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love it so much. It still makes me laugh. It's such a good comfort movie for me. And I just love it so much. I know I've said that several times. I will continue to say it. Also, the book's great. I read it in high school and I was like, wow, the book's great too. And there's so many levels of meta going on that the book made me laugh a ton. I still prefer the movie, which is not a sentence I will say often about movies versus books. But yeah, it's incredibly good. It's incredibly, incredibly good. It's one of the best movies of all time for me. And I if you haven't seen The Princess Bride, stop listening to this podcast and go listen to it.
You know what?
Or go watch it.
If you haven't watched it, I don't want you listening to this podcast.
That's right. You don't deserve to be on listening to this podcast. Yeah,
Turn it off. What are you doing?
Bring the noise.
I wanted to be like,
they actually say turn it up, bring the noise, but I'm playing liberties with the line. I don't care.
Turn it off. Unsubscribe. let's see. 37, what's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Kim and I watched Trolls 2 recently. And the one where it goes, but they're eating him, then they're gonna eat me. Yep. Oh my god.
Nilbog. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's as bad as everybody says it is. From top to bottom, that movie sucks. And like, I get it. If you want to watch with some friends and you want to, you know, imbibe some certain things, I totally get the appeal. I don't think I'll ever watch that movie again unless it's like with a bunch of friends and like we were hanging out and like, I'm straight edge, so I don't do any of that stuff. But like, if like we just wanted to make fun of the movie and not really pay attention to it or had it on in the background.
Yeah.
But that movie sucked. And there are some other contenders like, you know, like Leprechaun in the Hood. Is incredibly transphobic movie that really sucks a lot. in terms of that. I actually do find some of it funny, but then it got really transphobic and I was like, oh, okay, fuck this movie. And then Vampires Suck. I made it 30 minutes into that film.
Gosh, I forgot that movie existed.
Yeah. Let's keep it that way, Bob. And then I would also nominate, I would say Ernest Scared Stupid is one of the worst movies too, but Trolls 2 for sure.
Yeah. All right. 38. Who's your favorite actor or actress?
A good question. I don't follow actors and actresses that much. Like, I don't really go into like movies like, oh, that there's my favorite actor or there's my favorite actress. So that's tough. Yeah, I don't know that I really have like a favorite actor or actress, really. Like I said, I don't really go to movies for that. I go to movies because I'm interested in the story or I really like the director's vision.
Yeah.
Obviously, actors or actresses that I like never hurt, but I never really go out of my way for it. It's tough to think of anybody offhand.
Yeah, no worries. 39. How cool was it in Jurassic Park when the raptors were running through the kitchen?
It was cool, Bob. It was very cool. That movie is still great.
Very cool.
It was a cool scene.
So cool.
I love that you just did that. And then I also love when people say, oh, I've never seen Jurassic Park. And there's just like a silence on your end where I think you're just considering dropping the call. And you're just like, can I do this? No, we're about halfway through. We got to keep going.
It's not even anger. It's just like disappointment. It's just like,
yeah, I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
It's just so good. Question 40. First show as a kid you got really into?
Probably Barney, I think.
Ooh.
I love you. You love me. We're all big family. With a big hug and a kiss or me to you. That's how you know I love you too. I don't know. I'm really trying here from memory. But anyway.
I was with you halfway. I could remember the rest of it. So I feel like you got there, but I have no way of proving this.
Right. And don't look it up because you will definitely not prove me wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely Barney. I remember having a lot of the tapes. I had my special blanket, who was like, I think had some Barney stuff on, or I don't know. Yeah, Barney's probably one of the first shows I really, really got into when I was like 4 or 5. I would say Gargoyles is also one of the first shows I really got into.
Ooh.
I was like, I was a child of taste, all right? I don't want to brag. Child of taste. Eliza Mazda. I'm not saying much there, but you know. Anyway. It was probably Barney.
41. Who should play you in a movie of your life?
I would love it if the okay. 1 second. Let me
Andrew Garf.
That's right. Here we go. She's in Sense8 and she's incredible and she's a trans woman.
Oh, awesome.
Jamie Clayton. I would love it if Jamie Clayton played me in a biopic. She has blonde hair, not brown. But, I mean, you know, she can dye her hair, whatever. Like
Hollywood magic.
She's incredible. I don't know who would play child version of me. Whoever they would probably suck. Because I sucked as a kid and a teenager. It took a long time to not suck. And even now it's debatable. But anyway, Jamie Clayton, that would be amazing. She's an awesome actress. She's a trans woman. I'm not a trans woman. I'm non-binary, but I can't really think of too many non-binary actors. So Jamie Clayton is who comes first to mind.
That's great. 42. Who's the biggest celebrity you've ever met in person?
I met Dante Bosco kind of. He was at a convention. I didn't really meet him. He was kind of like halfway, you know. I was right here and he was like kind of like down there by the seats waiting to be like interviewed. I really wanted to say like, that's rough, buddy, or something like that to him. But that's probably, you know, I don't know if that really counts. Let's see, biggest celebrity I've ever met. Oh, I met, I went to a signing for Opeth, the Swedish heavy metal band, progressive heavy metal band. I went to a acoustic show at Newbury Comics, which was very intimate. And then I also went to the signing. I got to tell their bassist that he was a huge influence on me. So they're probably the most famous people I've met, I think. Gosh, I mean, I'm like trying to search myself if I've met a wrestler who's like super famous, but I don't think so. When I went to SmackDown, is like, what? Yeah, I met Vermin Supreme, but he's not that famous. I mean, I guess, I don't know if you know who Vermin Supreme is, but he was a presidential candidate who was like for none of the above, and he's basically like an anarchist. Yeah. I've met him. He's probably, I don't know, he's somewhat famous, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
I've never heard of him, but he sounds pretty cool.
It's probably Opeth, probably.
It's a good one. 43 TV show or podcast that you love, but you don't think any. Wait!
Breaking news! Okay, so I don't think they're more popular than Opeth, but I did meet This Town Needs Guns, or TTNG as they're known these days. And I got to tell you this story. We talked about The Land Before Time. I don't know why, but they were I was sitting right next to them. I was basically sitting by myself. I was looking at my phone, and all of a sudden, I hear some familiar voices, and I look up, and I'm like, my brain is like crapping out. I'm like, no. Oh my God. The band's right there. And they're just like sitting casually. I'm a huge math rock fan. And This Town Needs Guns is like one of the biggest math rock bands of all time. They're very popular, very accessible for the genre. One of them was like, hey, like, who's that? Who's such and such character? And I was able to name it. And then we talked about Land Before Time for a second. And then I actually like needed my phone to be charged. And so I asked them if they knew anybody who had a charger. And they were like, yeah, like actually one of our friends like has a portable charger on him. And he was like, I was like, oh, thank you so much. I'm absolutely going to give this back to you. Like, you know, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I also met these are not famous bands, but I also met what is it called? Empire. I Was a Lonely Estate, which is this emo rock band from Michigan that used to exist but doesn't exist anymore. And I went to their last show in Boston, and I just gotten into them, of course. And I gave them some brownies from a friend, and not those kind of brownies. And I had to assure them, like, they're just normal brownies. I'm straight edge. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not gonna blah blah blah.
But you kept winking at them as you kept saying it. Like, normal,
is there something wrong with your eye? Like, what's going on? But like, no, I had to sneak it in past the bouncer because I didn't want, because I was in like a catch 22. I didn't want him to think that they were pot brownies, but what if he wouldn't let me bring in food at all? Then I'd have to eat all the brownies, and that would look really weird before the show. So I was like, I gotta hide them, I gotta put them in a pocket. And so I did, and he didn't check anyway, so it was fine.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, what's next question.
Between Land Before Time and not pot brownies. I like these.
That's
stories.
Actually the live action version that they're gonna call it.
43 TV show or podcast that you love but you don't think anyone else knows about.
I listened to this, I don't know if it's really a podcast, but it's a D&D actual play called Roll With Me, and Lanny Pator of Team Four Star fame, who did Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, right?
Yeah, well, that was somebody else. That was Little Karibo.
Oh.
But they do collaborate. Yeah. They collaborate very often.
Okay, that's how I know.
And Little Karibo does play Frieza in the Abridged series, so, you know.
Okay.
There's crossover. I
apologize for my mistakes.
No, I'm trying to soften the blow, Bob. You're not helping.
They're getting in the comments already.
Get in the comments. God, we're gonna reference that so often. There's gonna be two through lines of this podcast. My puns and get in the comments. Yes. But anyway, and the two might be related as well. I don't think many people watch his it's amazing. It's incredible. He's weaved this terrific story about fatherhood and loss and victory and friendship, and it's so good. He's such a good dungeon master. It's on episode like 100 and something at this point, and every episode's like 2 hours long, it's or about there, sometimes a little longer. They're already at like level 13 or something, 11, 12. It's incredible. The amount of time he puts into it, the amount of world build, it's all homebrew. The amount of world building he does, it's incredible. And dude should get a medal and more people should listen to it. Some of these videos have criminally low like viewership, like 1,000 or something like that. I'm like, this needs like 10 times that. Like the, he is such a great DM. Roll with me. It's spelled R-O-L-E with me. And it's very good. He's a great DM. His players are amazing. Takahata 101, who is also in Dragon Ball Z Abridged, played Nappa in Perfect Cell. They're so good. I really recommend Roll With Me. It's a long haul if you want to get invested, but it's a great show to get, or podcast, quote unquote, to get into.
Yeah, sounds amazing. 44, favorite comedian.
All right. I think I would have said John Mulaney like a year or two ago, but oh man, stuff with him has been really rocky lately. And so I don't know my personal opinion of him anymore. And I'm not judging him, but I don't know. There's been a lot going on with him lately. And so like, I'm just not sure what to think of, like what's going on with him. I absolutely wish him all the best with his recovery. And like, yeah,
he's clearly got his own kind of personal demons he's got to figure out.
But still, John Mulaney's really high up there. I think Inside from Bo Burnham convinced me that he's probably one of my favorite comedians of all time. Bo Burnham is terrific. All of his specials on Netflix are amazing and absolutely worth watching. He is somehow incisive, funny, irreverent, irrelevant, completely relevant. I love Bo Burnham so much. And he's so good at being topical while not being like, you know, like still having like very cutesy pop culture stuff as well. Go watch Inside. I mean, make sure you're in a good place mentally, but watch Inside. It's incredible.
Yeah. No, he's really risen up the ranks in a lot of people's opinions. I think before they were just like, yeah, the guy with the guitar.
Yeah, he's on YouTube,
the guy
right?
With the piano. Yeah. Yeah, he's got those vines. Yeah. And then, yeah, this really, really set him apart. 45, best Saturday Night Live cast member.
I'm the wrong person to ask this. I have no idea. I did go through a period of my life, which of course I refer to as the SNL period of my life, where I watched a lot of SNL and late night shows when I was in high school, But I couldn't tell you who I always really liked the news segments with like Amy Poehler and all that crew. So I guess them. But like, it's not a strong endorsement or anything like that. I don't have hot takes on SNL. I'm the wrong person for this question.
Well, the rest of these 54 questions, I catered exclusively to Saturday Night Live. So, uh, 46. What's the nerdiest thing you've done?
What a question. I went to school in high school dressed up as V from V for Vendetta. And I did that around Halloween time. And no one else dressed up that day besides one of my friends who was also dressed up as V from V for Vendetta. And it was the most awkward, embarrassing thing I ever did in my life, but also one of the nerdiest.
I would say that qualifies.
Yeah.
I would absolutely say that qualifies. 47, least favorite state.
I'll go now if you want me to, because you know where this is going, and I'm really sorry. And if you need me to get off the podcast, I understand, Bob. It's New Jersey. I'm so sorry.
Fine state. It's a fine state.
It stinks. It literally stinks. Every time I thought it, I know it's just the one part. I know.
It's the one thing. Stretch of turnpike.
I know it's the whole one stretch thing. You always say this. Every time the factory part, it sucks and it stinks and I don't like it.
It's a combination of factory and swampland that does not do it any justice.
I've been to some nice places in New Jersey, but yeah, it's probably New Jersey. Sorry.
Well, let me get the SNL questions out there.
You know, ironically, I'm probably going to New Jersey in January to meet up with some D&D friends who I've been doing a campaign with. We're going to do our final session in person.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I'm very excited for that. And so it's the most excited I've ever been in New Jersey. Hopefully it will restore my faith in New Jersey. And then it will probably switch to, I don't know, Albuquerque or something like, or not New Albuquerque, New Mexico is what I mean to say. I went to Albuquerque, but I meant New Mexico.
We're coming for you, Albuquerque. That's all I'm saying. New Jersey's getting their title back. 48, best thing you ever won.
I really haven't won much in my life, which sounds very sad. I haven't won many contests, and I don't enter drafts or lotteries very often. I don't do the lottery. There's just not a lot of things that I've won, really. My stepdad won a contest when I was younger to get an Xbox. And so I got an Xbox because he got an Xbox. But other than that, and even that stretching it, I really haven't won too much from I think I tried to enter a radio contest once in my life. Excuse me. And I don't know. I don't think I've ever really... I guess I've won stuff at like fairs, maybe. I won this really cute elephant, or no, it wasn't an elephant. It was like a bear or something I gave to my partner at the time. I don't know. But that wasn't great. That was a relationship. Which is more on me than them. Again, I sucked as a teenager. But anyway. Honestly.
Here, I'll throw out an answer for you, because you mentioned radio contests. To add more lore, from that Bennington show, I won two things from their show.
What?
One of them was if you told a joke to the host and he laughed, you would win a prize. And I called in and I said, why are there no casinos in the jungle? Because there's too many cheetahs. And it got a chuckle just like that. And I won a Hangover DVD signed by Ed Helms, which I still have on my shelf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's so random, but okay.
And then the other one, I forget why I even won it, but it's a signed Marc Maron CD, the guy who hosts WTF. But it was before he got famous.
Yeah, so no, I know Mark. I've seen a lot of his specials, and I even watched his TV show. Yeah, big fan.
Yeah,
and I loved him in Glow.
Oh, he's great in Glow. Yeah. Yes, I was so glad to see him in there with that giant mustache. He was great. 49, is there anything you collected or had a collection of?
I did. Well, I used to collect... this is going to sound just so generic. I used to collect weird things. Just oddball trinkets and items. And I used to put them in this big potato sack. And I don't know why I had a potato sack. Please don't ask me. Also, don't search my backyard, please. But I used to have this weird potato sack thing. And I just used to put a lot of weird things. I had this like statue of Curly from the Three Stooges going like grinning. I used to have all these weird trinkets and stuff that I found in odd places. Yeah, I stopped after a while because I kind of thought it was pointless. But yeah, I just did that for a while, and I don't know why.
I like that, though. A collection for no good reason other than, I have it.
I just happened to have a weird items, and I was like, I put it all together, and then I started getting more weird items over time, and I was like, wow, this is weird. Like, okay, I'm done.
It started as it ended for no reason.
Yep. That'll be my autobiography / on my tombstone. Just kidding. I'm getting cremated.
That's the way to go. Question 50, dubbed the Ryan Davis. You're in a fight to the death with another person equal to your size. You're offered either an aluminum baseball bat or a 6-inch non-serrated knife. Knowing the other weapon you don't choose goes to your opponent, which do you choose, knife or bat?
Okay, so there's been a lot of debate about this question.
This is a hotly debated.
Hotly debated. So the way I think about this is you can easily block a bat, but you are fucked if you try to block a knife. I mean, I guess it could get stuck in your skin, unlike a bat, which wouldn't get stuck. But I mean, mm-hmm. like, even if it's non-serrated, like you come down hard enough on someone's arm. I mean, that arm's coming off, or there's going to be a big gash, and then they're going to start clutching at their hand, and bam, got them like right in the head. I think I'm team knife here. I know a lot of people like the bat because of the reach, but like you can just block a bat. Like you can easily block a bat. And even if you get walloped right in the head, there's still no guarantee that you'll be knocked out. You might be woozy and stuff like that, but like you could still get up. If you get knifed in the head, you're down. Like that's
yeah.
I think I'm team knife on this one. It's not by a wide margin at all. I respect team bat, but I politely disagree with a knife.
And that's why no one can disagree
with
you.
That's right, because I have the knife.
We have got plenty more show still to come. In fact, about half of it. Maybe slightly less than half. I'm no mathematician. But before we get into that, let's just shout out the wonderful folks who do the music for this podcast, like the song you're hearing right now from the Mini Vandals, or the song that's going to play as we come back from break from DJ Williams, the opening song from Diala, or the closing one from Single Friend. If you like what you hear, check them out, give them clicks, I'm sure they'd love it. And, you know, give me some clicks. Check out some older episodes. Subscribe, rate, review. If there are hollow stars next to this podcast, we'll fill them up. Click 5. Do what you want. We got more show. So, Dory, obviously I am familiar with you because you walloped me with Sora in Smash Brothers. I am also familiar because you're on a wonderful podcast that more people should listen to called Optional Dialogue, part of the Dialogue Box Network.
Yeah, I don't know YouTube what channel. Call
that.
Yeah.
Yes, YouTube channel. Thank you. YouTube.com?
I'm not... What? I am familiar with Vimeo, but YouTube? Daily Motion, yes.
I'm an Alta Vista man myself. I don't know. But what I want to ask you about is that you've recently had, I don't know how to exactly describe it, but you've been reached out to by several different news outlets and newspapers of various fame and intrigue. About your work that you do on a certain anti-work subreddit.
Yeah.
Can you shed some light on me? Shed some light on me? Shed some light for us on what happened there, how this kind of blew up.
Yeah.
This whole like anti-work, quitting your job movement. What happened there and how did you end up being the one reached out to by, like I kind of hinted at in the intro, New York. No, not your New York Times, Rolling Stone, The Guardian, all sorts of different
Today
huge places. The Today Show.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? What was the precipice of all this, and how did this
happen? So, I have been, as I've kind of alluded to a few times here, I've been an anarchist of one variety or another for about 10 years now. I got into the anti-work ideology just by working. And discovering that retail work really sucks. It's really soul sucking and it really doesn't give me a lot of fulfillment. The managers are often mean. The customers are often very entitled. The pay is not very good. The conditions are bad, blah, 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 blah. Over the years, I just became very disenfranchised with it. And I started looking into other people who felt that way. And I looked up this essay called, or I found this essay called The Abolition of Work by Bob Black. And I, you know, over a couple of years was like, wow, like it's weird that there's no movement about this. There's no website for this. There's no anything for it. So I started a website called abolishwork.com. And I, a friend of mine, around that same time started a subreddit called anti-work. And he was like, hey, I would love to have you moderate. I know you just started up abolishwork.com. I would love to help you help out. And so I was like, sure. Yeah, that's fine. And so I didn't think anything was ever going to come of it. You know, it took us a couple of years to get to 1,000 people. And then it just kept spiraling upwards. I think around this time, we had about 185,000 or something. We're at 1.1 million now.
Wow.
We, at one point, the graph that showed our growth was like this. For people listening at home, I'm literally just going upwards. Like,
it's just a vertical line.
It's just
line.
A straight line up. It's just a straight line up. And like, we've leveled off since then. I think we're getting, I know these are rookie numbers, but like 60,000 a week or something like that in terms of new people showing
that
up.
At all?
Yeah. At all? I mean, come on. Those are rookie numbers. It blew up because of COVID. It blew up because of what people are calling the Great Resignation. I don't really have any strong opinions on that, but people are quitting in record numbers because they're tired of their jobs or they're this or they're that. I don't know like how truthful that is. Haven't really looked into it myself, but that's what people say. I've been reached out to by Vice, by Today, by The Guardian, by I've just been reached out to by one of the biggest weekly newspapers in Scandinavia. The subreddit has been reached out to by Quartz, by Refinery 29. I've been interviewed by two different people trying to make a documentary, actually two or three. I've lost count. And then we have at least three different articles on Vice about us. The New York Times has an article about us. Forbes wrote an article about us. Business Insider had an article about us. It's blown up, and it's because of COVID. It's because a text screenshot that we had went to the front page of Reddit and just blew us the hell up. It was somebody quitting their job, and they, you know, just told their boss to stuff it, and it was very empowering. A lot of people loved it, and it got hundreds of thousands of upvotes and made the front page of Reddit. And we were already blowing up, but I mean, that just catapulted us. From there, people wanted to interview me and have me say stuff, and I'm quoted as saying bonkers in the Rolling Stone. So that's great. That's going to be my legacy right there.
I would never stop bragging about that if that were me. Like.
I won't go too far into what the philosophy is about, because you could just go check out the subreddit and read the FAQ. But I mean, basically, it's not against effort. It's not against people having jobs. It's not against people making money necessarily, although some people are communists and stuff like that. But the whole idea of the movement is that the current idea of work under capitalism is very toxic to our mental health, to our physical health. So many people a year die because of heart-related conditions due to overwork. Overwork is an epidemic in Japan. They even have like phrases for it. That's how bad it is. It's been bad like that for decades. It's just like it's a whole cultural phenomenon of overworking yourself to death, of working way too hard, never taking time for yourself, never taking the time you need to relax. You know, thinking that people who are lazy are bad. That's another thing that we're trying to fight against. So yeah, I mean, check out the subreddit, check out my website. You'll find everything you need there. It's a pretty incredible experience, and it's not even done yet. I still have, an interview tomorrow and an interview on Friday. So I'm still getting interviews from people. We've also gotten in touch, like a Dutch news channel or something has gotten in touch with the mods on Reddit. It's just wild. And I don't do this by myself. You know, we have a whole team of like 15 to 18 moderators, and everybody does an awesome job. So it's not just me. And I try to not put myself at the forefront, but yeah, people enjoy having me be interviewed. I also got interviewed on this St. Louis talk show. It's been wild. It's been absolutely bizarre, and I don't know how to explain
it. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
I really love that. I find it so fascinating. I think you're probably right. Like the COVID just kind of made people see this through a new perspective, and
yeah,
I could absolutely see why.
A lot of people discovered that, oh hey, my boss was lying. Remote work is actually possible, and we didn't need to, you know, be here and have all these pointless meetings and do all this pointless shit. Like, we could have just stayed at home with our families and with our pets and, like, you know, taken more time for ourselves, and like, our bosses were lying the whole time. What a shocker.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. What's the website one more time?
Yeah, so my website is abolishwork.com. And then if you want to find the anti-work subreddit, you can just look up r/anti-work. Honestly, at this point, you could do anti-work and in Google and you would find us. We're probably the first result. I mean, it's just incredible. We are 1.1 million and still growing.
Amazing. Amazing. Doing a heck of a job over there. I love it. But we got so many more questions. Let's get to the questions. 51. What's your phone wallpaper right now? Oh, no. I think I already know.
I'll just. You see that?
No, I. Even with the glare, I see the overalls of. Yep.
It's Sora.
It's Sora.
It's Kingdom Hearts 2 Sora, to be specific. But yeah, he's sucking on a sea salt ice cream, standing in some water. Yep, it's Sora.
Very nice. Very on brand.
Yep. You know me.
52, what's the last thing you Googled? Or Binged? Or
I used DuckDuckGo. Actually, the last thing I Googled was Sense8, because I wanted to know who that actress was.
There you go. 53, you have to name your next pet without seeing them. What do you name them?
So I don't know the breed at all. I don't even know what type of animal it is, huh?
Nope.
It's
a surprise pet in a box, hopefully with some air holes, and you just gotta name it before it pops out.
All right. Oddly specific, Bob, but I'll go with it. I gotta pick a
like, listen,
a
I have Christmas plants, that's all I'm saying.
a non-gendered name.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll go with Max. Max is a nice non-gendered name.
It's a good one. 54. This could be deep. What professional wrestler would you compare yourself to?
I have been agonizing over this and I have no answer. You would think that because I have so much knowledge of professional wrestling, I'm not bragging, that I would have an easy answer, but I don't. And like, it's because I have all this knowledge. There are so many wrestlers in my head that like I think about, that I look up to, that I love, you know. I mean, first that comes to mind is Rey Mysterio because he's such an underdog. But then I think about Hangman Adam Page because there's a whole story about redemption and making mistakes and like coming back better and being better. I mean, those are my two ideas, but like, I'm not like sold on any of them. You know, Hangman's definitely the most invested I've been in a storyline. And, you know, I felt like I won $1 million when he won the AEW championship. So yeah, I guess it's Hangman, but I don't know. His story of redemption is just a very good one. And it's one I relate heavily to. So I guess it's Hangman, you know, in terms of like wrestlers that I relate to.
Yeah. 55, what's your comfort food on a bad day?
Chicken broccoli ziti. I love chicken broccoli ziti so much. It's one of my cheat foods. It's so good. My partner makes excellent CBZ, even if she doesn't think that she does. She shook her head. My aunt also makes terrific CBZ. I love pasta so much in general. It's a great comfort food for me. It's got everything. It's got your meats. It's got your veggies, it's got your pastas, the Alfredo sauce is mwah. It's so good. When you do a CBZ right, it's tough to beat, especially if you put it like in a tortilla or a sandwich or something. Mm. And when I discovered that you could put pasta in a tortilla or like anything like that, like some kind of sandwich, or like garlic bread, it was a game changer for me. It was such a game. I was like, I had never thought of putting pasta in a sandwich. I want one right now.
Yeah. Listen, you put some good spaghetti in between two pieces of garlic bread, you got yourself a feast right there.
And we're not talking about Spider-Man.
Hey. Anyway. 56, favorite smell.
The new book / new card smell. When I was big into Yu-Gi-Oh, that was one of my drugs of choice. I also really love the smell of a new book. Yeah, those are probably my favorite smells. I also love pasta. So like I said, that the smell of good pasta, a smell of a really warm pie. I love the crisp autumn air smell. And like when like a fireplace is burning, that kind of smell in the air. Oh my God. Yep. Takes me back.
I'm not going to say East Coast autumn. That's a good smell right there.
Absolutely. Get except your peepers
that,
out.
Except for that small stretch of turnpike. But other than that, all the rest of the East Coast, it's all good. It's all good. From Maine to Florida, it's all good. 57, best candy.
Best candy. It's probably something white chocolate. I really like Lindt white chocolates. Those are really delicious. They're really easy to eat. No muss, no fuss. They taste great. It's just like a whole experience of deliciousness.
Hard to argue there. 58, worst candy.
Those fucking peanuts. What is the point of those circus peanuts? They're just no. I got something that's gonna piss off Kim. Peeps are the worst. I hate Peeps. Peeps suck. If you want marshmallow, just put marshmallow with peanut butter and put it in a sandwich. I don't understand why people like Peeps so much. We fight about this every year, and I still buy her Peeps because I love her. But I mean, it's just, I will not back down from this opinion. I really hate Peeps. I think I've tried them before. They're too sweet. It's too much of a good thing. I love marshmallow. I'm sure, you know, some birds are cool. But like, you know, I'm not a big Peeps person. I love Christian Cage, and I love that Christian Cage loves all his Peeps, but
there's so many bells.
Oh my God. What is this, Beauty and the Beast? Hey, there's another one.
Question 59. What's a restaurant you would recommend?
There's this place in Manchester, New Hampshire called The Farm. It has a very, I really respect restaurants that have a small menu, but really hone in on like what they're good at. Like Five Guys does the same thing. Five Guys is expensive food, but it's a really small menu. You know what you're getting. You don't have to like, I always have to do this at like restaurants because they have so many options.
Yeah.
And they always do like pretty much everything adequately, but give me a small menu that they do great every time over a big menu, because then I don't have choice paralysis and I know it's going to be solid no matter what, because they specialize in it. The Farm is like that. They have a lot of simple foods, a lot of simple meals. Almost every single time I went there, it was a home run. The Farm on Elm Street in Manchester. Go check it out. This is not a sponsored ad.
So if The Farm wants to throw some gift
cards, I had one of my birthdays there pre-pandemic, so it was great.
Nice. 61? Actually, no. 60 was a food you've never eaten.
There's so many foods. I'm a very picky eater, so there's a ton of food. I don't think I've ever had clams. I don't think I'll ever try it either, but yeah, I've never had clams.
Okay. Yeah, I love me some clams. But it's clams on linguine. Oh my gosh, you got delicious whatever that thing is called.
Really selling me here.
61, strangest food that you have eaten.
Again, I'm a very picky eater, so a lot of people are going to go like, how is this the weirdest food she's ever had? It's calamari. I have had calamari with ketchup because it's kind of just like a rubbery kind of chicken with breading. But calamari is definitely the weirdest. I mean, I've probably tried weirder, but calamari sticks out to me the most because I had it when I was a kid, and I also had it a year or two ago, and it was okay, but I didn't really care for it.
That's fair. 62, what's a typical day off?
A typical day off is me playing video games, me playing D&D, I only have the weekends off usually. So if it's Saturday, it's me sleeping in, playing video games, getting some homework done, hopping on the Optional Dialogue podcast, huh? Plug, plug,
hey,
plug.
Hey, some Eastern, maybe, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. 7:30, actually, I believe.
Get there early. They sell out.
we really do. Honestly, we have sold out. Anyway, so...
Ding.
I can't wait till you have some fun.
I love it.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'll watch something with Kim late at night, or I might stream on Saturdays too. Sundays is D&D day, so it's just D&D all day, pretty much. I mean, some homework maybe, some hanging out with Kim. Yeah.
That's pretty good to me. 63 bucket list item you accomplished.
I don't really have a bucket list. I don't make long-term plans very well. And so I don't really have a bucket list. I mean, I guess a bucket list item of mine is to visit Scotland. I haven't completed that yet. But I mean, I guess I would say, you know, a bucket list item of mine would be like, you know, take a road trip with someone. And like Kim and I did that. So, I mean, this is me retroactively, by the way, having a bucket list, because I've literally never thought of a bucket list before for myself. I just do things.
No, but I think it does speak to how cool of a moment something is when you look back on it and go, yeah, like that probably would have been on my bucket list if I had written one. You know what I
absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely.
So,
I'm not going to tell you the name of the book or anything like that for complicated reasons, but I did publish a book, and that would have been probably on my bucket list as well.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
64 bucket list item you probably won't accomplish.
Kim and I want to adopt 10 dogs. I don't know if that's actually ever going to happen, but we really, really want to. If we do, I'll definitely send you a picture and let you know, but that'll be tough.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
The vet costs alone would be very tough.
So many leashes. You'd have to update them weekly. 65, name of a friend you don't keep in contact with, but regret it.
Yeah, here we go. Ash, I'm sure you're not listening to this, but on the 0.1% chance you are, I super miss you. I had a falling out with this friend, not after we broke up, ironically, but a couple years later. I had made some really bad choices, and alienated a lot of my friends, and this was one of them. I really regret it. I wish we could keep in contact. They sent me this beautiful message to me before we stopped being friends of like, hey, like, I wish the best for you. I really think, like, you know, if you give some time and don't rush yourself, you'll, you know, become a better person. And it was the nicest way I've ever seen someone say, hey, I don't want to be friends anymore. You know, I love you, but I can't be friends with you anymore, kind of thing. Yeah. I super regret it. And I really wish we could stay in contact, but I know it's what they want. We've never talked to each other since. I did see them once at a convention. It was very awkward. And I had to kind of make myself scarce very quickly because I did not want to make them feel uncomfortable. So, yeah, but I haven't seen them since. I hope they're doing all the best. I hope they're doing well and all the best to them. They were and are one of my favorite people of all time. Amazing, amazing person. So yeah, I'm sure Ash is not listening, but if you are, hey, you know, still think of you from time to time.
That's a very nice sentiment. Yes. 66. What's a game that makes you feel nostalgic?
Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
Nailed it. You know, I'm not going to say a ton here. I grew up playing Kingdom Hearts and I played Kingdom Hearts 2 a lot. I beat it. The night before I had to go into school, I thought that it was only going to be a couple hours, but I did not yet understand how JRPGs worked. So I was up till like 4 a.m. or something, 3 a.m., and I had to get up in 3 hours. But I felt very good that day because I was so high on beating Kingdom Hearts 2.
I love that.
Every time I hear Twilight Town's theme, Lazy Afternoon, it just look up that song. You don't have to play it. I swear, Bob, you don't have to play it. But listen to Lazy Afternoon. It's such an incredibly nostalgic song for me.
Well, that's great. And yeah, just for you, Dory, I'll put in the song here. and then ended immediately. 2 seconds. You get 2 seconds of the song.
Copyright.
But, like, you can't mess with the copyright. It's Disney. It's Square. They're going to shut it down. But it's in there. That's it. 67. What game have you spent the most time playing? Feels like I'm just putting a ball on the tee for you.
Bob, I got to tell you, I have about 300 hours in Kingdom Hearts 2 and about 300 hours in Kingdom Hearts 3. So, I mean, you know, take your pick on that one. I think Kingdom Hearts Tetris effects, actually. Kingdom Hearts 2, I played the most out of any video game. I have probably close to 400 hours on it at this point, which for me is just unbelievable because I almost never go back to video games.
Yeah, I don't know if I have 400 hours in any game. That's
I barely have 400 hours in my life, really. So, you know.
68. What's something you've built with your own hands?
This chair, I guess. I mean, you know, it came with all the screws and stuff like that, unlike me. But, you know, I... Bam! but, yeah, no, this chair. It wasn't super hard, and Kim helped because I'm trash at building stuff, but you know, this chair,
that's great. It's a fine chair. 69, best pickup line.
First off, nice. Second, my go-to, and Kim will appreciate this, hey, are you a library card? I'd like to check you out. It appeals to me because I love reading, I love libraries, and I love checking people out with their consent. So, checks all the boxes. I don't know what more can you want. You literally ask for consent if you could check someone out. No, seriously, don't go up to people and do pickup lines. It's weird and creepy. Don't do it. Yeah. But it is a great pickup line if you have someone's consent.
That's great. 70, have you ever had any good nicknames?
Yeah. Dory is a great nickname. One of my friends' roommates used to call me Feldman because my family's original last name was Feldman instead of Ford. They Americanized it because, you know, anti-Semitism. You know how it goes. Fucking anti-Semites. So I'm not technically Jewish myself. It's on my father's side, on my mother's side. For some reason, that makes me not Jewish, but I don't know. Go figure it out. Feldman was great. Dory's great. I have some nicknames that revolve around my dead name that I'm not going to say, but so those are kind of weird to me now. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I like it. 71. Do you believe in love at first sight?
I get attracted to people very fast, but attraction is not the same as love. Mm-hmm. I have thought people are very attractive and physically desirable, but love is a whole different thing. You know, when I met Kim at Walgreens, classic dating story. Don't date your coworkers, kids. But anyway, you know, I didn't love her the first time I saw her. You know, I liked her and I thought she was cool. And like, we talked about horror movies and video games and stuff, and we got to become better friends. But you know, I didn't like love her or whatever like that. You know, that said, I fell in love with her pretty fast, but that's just because of who I am.
Gotcha.
I fall in love very quickly.
72. What's a big turnoff of yours?
People who are like, this is probably gonna make me sound bad, but people who are like obsessed with their hygiene to the point like they judge people who like don't shower every single day. Like, I'll shower like a couple times a week, or like, you know, but like, to me, it's like if I'm bothering you with my smell, absolutely, like deodorant, shower, whatever. But yeah, like people who like, I don't know, get on their high horse or make it a whole moralistic thing, that's really a turnoff for me. Who judge other people because like they're a little messy or something like that. Like, I have executive functioning issues. I'm not always together in terms of my presentation. Like, if that's a problem for someone, that's a huge turnoff for me.
Yeah. Turns out kind of moralistically judging someone for most things is not great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually shaming people just doesn't work. It usually has the opposite effect, actually.
Yeah. not a great thing. I'll make the stand there. I'll take that hot take. 73, do you consider yourself an artist?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a writer, and I have done a lot of poetry in my life, and I have done a lot of short stories. I wouldn't say I'm an artiste, but I would say I'm an artist. You know, I will never call myself that, but if somebody said that about me, I wouldn't necessarily object, I guess.
I gotcha. Yeah. 74, what's something you tried to cook and failed?
So many fucking things. I think I tried to cook. Let's see. There's so many things. I can't even think of an individual example, which is kind of funny. But like, I've tried to cook things for Kim, or like tried to cook things for myself, and it just doesn't go well. Oh, stuffing. Stovetop stuffing, Bob. Stovetop stuffing. One of the easiest things in the world to make. And I botched it because I added too much water, or I put it on the stove too. I can't even remember. But like, I botched it, and like, I think I burnt the pan to boot. So
double whammy. Brutal.
I felt like such a silly person.
75, dubbed the Ben Hansen, who notoriously loves Kingdom Hearts. What's the greatest piece of art ever made?
Now, if I say Kingdom, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't actually think it that.
Hey, listen.
Greatest piece of art. I really love. I know we're talking art very generally, but whenever people say art, I think of paintings, and I really love oil paintings a lot. You know, I think one of my favorite paintings of all time is the romance one, where the man is holding the woman, and they're kind of like in a dancing pose. Let me see if I can show you that. It's this one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't actually know what. It's called The Kiss by Gustav Klimt. I think that's one of the greatest works of art of all time.
Love it. 76. Have you ever had something happen to you you would consider paranormal?
No, I don't believe in the paranormal. I'm very boring. I have no story here. I have nothing to share. I don't think the paranormal exists. I'm sorry, Bob. I'm a boring atheist.
Just like a ghost.
A ghost? No, I mean, I used to have night terrors about like anthropomorphic wolf who would terrorize me as a child. And like, so I mean, like, I had that, but that was never paranormal. That was in my head.
Yeah, that's fair. Unless, probably not. 77. Would you ever use a Ouija board?
I don't believe in paranormal stuff, but that's asking for shit. You're asking for shit. Like, I don't believe that any shit would happen, but you're asking for shit. And like, if you seriously want a Ouija board, you go off and do it. But A, I don't believe in it. And B, I don't want any part of it. Just on the off chance. I'm good on that.
I'm right there with you. It's like whistling through a graveyard. It's just like, there's something wrong here and I don't know why.
You are asking for trouble, my friend, and I want no part of the trouble that will be received.
1000% agree. 78. Simply, why?
Because humans have to create meaning for themselves, otherwise they won't be able to keep going.
Probably the realest answer we've got thus far, and I think you're dead.
I'm a philosophy student at heart, and in practice. So.
79. If given the chance, when would you time travel to?
I've thought about time travel a lot, Bob. I've made a lot of bad mistakes in my life, so I think about time travel every now and then. But the problems with time travel are A, the butterfly effect; B, the multi-universe theory; C, like what happens if you meet yourself; D, like things could just be undone anyway. That said, if I had to, if I could, I wouldn't. I know the popular answer is stop Hitler, stop Stalin, stop like some mass murderer. I don't even know the ramifications of that. I stopping those people would be good, but like, I have no idea what would happen. So many people would have not been born. So many things would have not happened. It's like, how do you do that moral calculus? I don't fucking know. Like, I've literally thought to myself in the shower, if I went there was a Reddit thread where he was like, if you went back as a 10-year-old, but with all your knowledge of now, like, what would you do? And I was like, holy shit, like, that's right before September 11th. Like, I would have, like, a like less than a month to stop the terrorist attacks. No yeah. one would believe me. I'd be a child raving mad about terrorist attacks in New York, and no one would believe me, and it would happen anyway. And that's horrible. I wouldn't want to do that. So, anyway, to answer your question, I would stop myself from dropping out of college in 2011.
Oh, okay.
It's a very personal choice. I don't think it affects too many things. And to the extent it does, I think it stops a lot of bad shit in my life from happening.
I think that's very fair. 80. Have you ever made a sudden dramatic change to your lifestyle and stuck to it?
Pescatarianism. I've mostly stuck to it. I can't say I've been completely consistent. I cheat every now and then.
Well,
but yeah,
chicken,
that's a pretty
chicken
dramatic.
Broccoli ziti. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, yeah. But I definitely cheat from time to time. But yeah, I mean, I've mostly stuck with it.
Nice. 81. What game show, past or present, would you love to be a contestant on?
I never really got into game shows. I guess it would be like one of those puzzle things. You know, like Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy or something. Like something like I could figure out logically, not just pure chance.
Yeah.
I would love to go on those Double Dare things. Oh my god. Give me those Double Dare Nickelodeon studio shows. That would be amazing. Or the Aztec show, the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple, yeah.
Oh, that's an all-timer. 82. What's a quote that you love?
I think I have some quotes on Facebook, actually. Ooh. See if I can find some. Oh, I went to see Postmodern Jukebox like a year ago. Oh, you know what? I'll say this one because it's actually Voltaire Declare's birthday, by the way. What timing? I die as I have lived, a free spirit, an anarchist, owing no allegiance to rulers, heavenly or earthly. Not a very good quote in terms of like having a lot of generalized context, but it is a quote I really love, and it's right there on my Facebook right now. So you know,
it just has so much power behind it. Like that's great.
Yeah.
83. What's the best shirt that you own?
I have a Maki Ito shirt that says she is the Tokyo Princess Cup winner, and it says fuck on it, and it says motherfucker, and it says queen of shit. It's great. It's probably one of my favorite shirts. I also have a shirt that says my dream job is to not have one. So that's one of my favorites too.
That's pretty great. Pretty great. 84. Would you change your middle name?
Would I change my middle name? I already did. I changed my middle name from Joshua, which is the name of my father, who left my mom and I when I was two. So, you know, nice. To Irene, which is part of Voltairine's name. Doreen Irene Ford.
I like it. It rolls well.
It does. It's very musical.
Yeah. 85. What's a good impression you can do?
I can do lots of I mean, I'm a dungeon master, so I can do lots of impressions. Ooh. I can do a mean Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
I'll get you, Gadget, next time. That's really good.
I know. I practiced it when I was a little kid. That's actually my voice for death when characters die in campaigns. I use that voice as death because it's a killer on my voice, so I never use it otherwise.
Oh, I'm sure. That's really good, though. I gotta say, especially with like zero notice, you just pulled out a Dr. Claw.
Yeah, I practiced his voice a lot when I was a kid, and it paid off.
Absolutely.
Oh, Kim hates that voice, by the way.
Yeah, I can see that. 86. Is there a tattoo you wanted to get but are glad you didn't get?
I've never been into tattoos. I do want to get a tattoo, but I don't want to reveal what. But it's fairly expensive and intricate, so I don't know if it's going to happen. If it does, you will know about it. But I've never wanted a tattoo before this tattoo. I will say it's from a game series, not Kingdom Hearts, that I very much love and care deeply about and has made a profound impact on me and my life. So But I had never wanted a tattoo prior to that. And not that I judge people who get it, by the way, but I never had been for me. But yeah, I really want this tattoo that I'm thinking about, but it just was very expensive at the time. It still is expensive, but I'm thinking about it.
Very interesting. Okay. 87. How would you describe your 16-year-old self?
I just eye rolled and went, ugh. Yeah. My 16-year-old self was so sure of themselves that like they knew all the answers and like they had all the solutions, and I had a real big head back then about myself, and I was so socially inept in a lot of ways, especially about dating and romance. I knew I did on some level, but just not to the extent that I actually did. I was just a really, really unfortunate person as a teenager. I tried my best, and I run now because I walked then. So, you know.
There you go. 88. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I don't think I've really had many injuries in my life. I think recently I got trapped in a bathroom at someone's house, and because I was dog sitting, and it had gotten stuck because of the weather. The door, I mean.
Like it swelled
and
up.
So I think I told you, told Min-Max about this in a couple other places, but I had to point and click my way the fuck out of there. I was yelling at first. I was like, oh my God, like somebody get me out. Ah! I was like doing the cliche shit like people say they'll never do. Like, oh, I would say remain calm. No, I was fucking flipping out. I was like, oh my God, somebody open the fucking door. But Kim was already at work. The dog obviously couldn't help me. So I was pretty fucked. But the window was available.
Oh, and, right.
Yes. And it's only a two-floor building, two-floor house, and I was on the first floor. So it's not like I fell super far, but my feet got caught on the windowsill as I went down.
Oh, no.
And I didn't notice anything until later that night. And it at that point had like puffed up and looked completely gross.
Oh, was it? Do you think you just like twisted an ankle, or was it something broken? Or
no, it's just like one of my toes.
Oh, it was just really, okay.
I hurt both my feet on trying to get down. It's a tough squeeze. And by the time I figured out this was really gonna hurt, I was stuck in the windowsill like Winnie the Pooh style. I couldn't get myself back out. So my big butt was not letting me back out. And I was like, welp, I guess I'm going down. And it was actually kind of a blessing in disguise that the windowsill stopped me and caught my legs, because it was not soil and ground below me. It was a bunch of like rocks to fill out their garden or some shit.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I was about to land on a bunch of rocks really hard. But I mean, little rocks, but still, you know,
still, yeah,
I was going to really hit rock bottom.
There it is. There it is.
Anyway, that's my probably my worst injury, but I don't know. I don't think I've had many injuries in my life.
I forgot that whole story. That's incredible.
I had to point and click my way out of there. I used everything I learned from 90s point and click. LucasArts, thank you so much.
Thank you, Grim Fandango.
That's right.
89. Is there a habit of yours you want to break?
I pick at my skin and my fingernails, and it's a nervous habit. I got to stop. I've been doing it for so many years. I really wish I would stop doing it.
Yeah, I think that's the nail biting. It's brutal. It's brutal. 90, home stretch time here. Have you ever lied on your resume?
Surprisingly, for an anti-work person, no. I'm a very honest person. And when I lie, I'm really bad at covering up my lies or even lying in the first place. So, no, I don't think I have. Maybe I've stretched truth, but I, made myself seem better at my job than I was because I'm an utter slacker. But other than that, I mean, I've never flat out lied. I've never said, oh, I worked here when I actually didn't, or I went to school here or I actually didn't, or like extended how long I worked at something when I actually didn't. So, no flat out lies anyway.
Okay. 91. Have you ever punched someone in the face?
I've never really gotten into a fight with somebody. I've fought my brother Nathan, but just playfully. I fought Kyle, my cousin Kyle, but playfully. I've never really seriously punched someone in the face. Kim and I, like, you know, wrestle sometimes just for fun. But like, yeah, other than that, and even in those situations, I don't think it applies. So no, probably not. I have no story here about a man in a party who insulted my friend.
Okay. All right. 92. Would you ever go to a nude beach?
I don't think so. Like, I don't mind nudity, but it's not something I want to go out of my way to see, you know, in terms of like public areas. I mean, I totally support people's rights to have those beaches and do that if they want, but that's not really my thing. I definitely wouldn't go there to be nude myself. I'd feel very uncomfortable.
I gotcha. Okay. 93. Somehow not the realest question. When was the last time you cried?
I got really close when Hangman won the championship.
Honestly, though? Honestly?
Yeah. I got really close. I got really close when he won the AEW championship.
You know what got it for me during that whole moment to
yeah.
get a little inside baseball on it? When, who was it? Alex Reynolds tried to hand him the beer and Hangman knocked it out of the way and went for the hug.
Yep.
I felt that punch. God, I felt that.
But that didn't make me cry. I'm not sure when's the last time. Kim, can you think of the last time I cried? Yeah, she says I cried at Full Gear. I don't know. I must have gotten pretty close. I'm going to count it. I don't think I actually cried, but I got pretty dang close.
I got really emotional. It was a big moment. So.
Yeah, I got really emotional for sure.
94. What's something you've done and will probably never do again?
Oh, this is another one I've been agonizing over. All right. I'm not going to over personally share. So I'm going to say I'm probably never going to drop out of college again. I did it once and I think it was one of the worst mistakes of my life. I've done other things once that I'm not sure if I'll ever do again, but I might. So that's also why I'm not including them.
Yeah.
But yeah, drop out of college. I'm probably never going to do that again. I'm going to finish my master's degree and I'm going to get a doctorate if I can.
That's incredible. It's very commendable. Because that is not easy. Not easy.
Tell me about it.
95. Best compliment you ever received.
When people tell me I'm funny. When people actually genuinely say that I'm funny or that I'm a good writer. That day where people were campaigning for me to get mentored by Alana Pierce. Or is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And everybody said such nice things about my writing and me as a person. That was one of the best days of my life. I had no idea, like I had no expectation that anybody would say anything, but like literally 20 people must have told Alana, hey, you should really mentor this person. They're already a great writer. They'd be even better with your mentorship. And it didn't happen, but like, I don't care. So many people who I think are awesome said nice things about me. Like I win. Like yeah. I don't need the fuck. Like that would have been awesome. But you know, it was amazing. Yeah. If people say like your writing helped me or you're funny or, you know, stuff like that, like stuff that I've actually positively impacted someone through me being me, then that's great. Those are my favorite things.
Oh, awesome. 96. Tell me a joke.
What is a pirate's favorite letter?
I don't know. What is a pirate's favorite letter?
Come on, Bob. You got to guess.
Is it R?
No, 'tis the sea. And by the way, Chris, that is my favorite joke of all time. I'm going to preempt that question. That's my favorite joke of all time.
Okay. See, we jumped the gun here, but that is a fantastic segue into 97, which used to be a question that I threw right out the window. And is now the listener question of the week. And if any of you wonderful listeners have a question you'd like to be used on the show, it's 99 Questions Pod. And that's, of course, the number 99. questionspod on Twitter or 99questionspod@gmail.com, I assume. Yeah, we had a question from Chris Logan saying, simple one, but I have to know your favorite joke slash pun, which honestly, that's pretty solid. Yeah. And I will throw you one more from Preston, host of Level Zero Pod. He had a question about the influx of people to anti-work, but Preston, we've gone over it. So I will ask his other question. Favorite Kingdom Hearts character that isn't a main character of a game or Disney franchise?
Ooh!
That's a spicy one.
God damn, Preston. Okay.
That's a spicy one.
Who isn't a main character or a Disney character? I think that just leaves Final Fantasy characters.
Unless there's like an original character, I suppose, that kind of fits those ranks.
Who isn't a main character.
Yeah. But again, I'm super not familiar with the game.
I could just easily, so easily cheat here, but I won't. God, I think Xemnas is one of my favorite villains from the series. He's played by, I always mix up his name, but I believe it's Peter St. Paul. He plays the announcer in Soul Calibur. He is such an excellent villain's voice. He's incredible. And you can also rearrange his name to spell man sex.
Nice. well, that's fantastic on all levels. And thank you to Chris Logan and Preston for the questions. 98, what made you want to be who you are today?
A number of people, my mom did, my uncle had an influence with his sense of humor, my grandmother for her kindness and empathy, Voltarine, I talked about her at length before and how much she influenced me. I grew up watching Spider-Man, and a lot of what I got from my personal ethics were Spider-Man of being trying to take responsibility for your actions. That doesn't mean I've always done A+ at that, but with great power comes great responsibility, helping the weaker, helping the people who need it the most, helping the disenfranchised, the marginalized, and telling really funny zingers the whole time through. So, I mean, those are like five people that have really influenced me. I'm sure other things have really influenced me to be the person I am today, but that's a lot of it. There's a lot of wonderful trans activists and writers and stuff like that who really influenced me to be who I am today as well. Those are some of my top five people.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess I got to shout out my partner, Kim, who inspires me to be a better person every day or something, something like that.
Oh, no.
Ah, who cares?
but we reached the top of the mountain here. We're at question 99. The big one. What do you want to be remembered for?
I am going to be remembered for a lot of things in my life at this point. And I'm only 30. I'm going to be remembered for good things, and I'm going to be remembered for bad things. And it really depends on the person you ask and their experiences with me. I hope that the overall general consensus on me when I die is that I did the best I could with what I had at the time. And while I could have done better, ultimately I did right by as many people as I tried to do right by. I guess is what I'm trying to say. That I cared, that I wanted to do better, and I wanted to improve myself and, fix my mistakes and not just like try to hide them or throw them under the rug or anything like that. I know I'm being like very vague and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's really, I want to be known as a person who cared and gave a shit and like really wanted to help others and improve like the world and like society and stuff like that through my activism and through my day-to-day action, interactions. Also, if people could just remember how fucking funny I am, that would be great. If y'all could just at least do that much, I'd really appreciate that. Thank you. Also, my incredible knowledge of Kingdom Hearts lore and pro wrestling knowledge. Thank you.
Bravo. Bravo. I wish I had more questions for you. This has been such an absolute treat. But truly, I don't. I don't think there are any more questions in these.
I'm fairly certain.
I've scoured. I mean,
you asked the one about the 9-year-old. You've really, like, you've hit all targets.
I've got them all there. What else is there? Dory, this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for donating for all of this. And you've really made my day here. This has been absolutely wonderful. Is there anything that you would like to plug, promote, waft into the ears of our wonderful listenership? The floor is completely yours.
Oh shit, I own a floor. Yes.
To get one more bell in.
Had to do it to you. I'm on a podcast called Dialogue Box, and I do that with my friends James Smith, Sebastian Cardoni, and Mitchell O'Brien, and we talk about all things video games. We go live 7:30 EST. We have a pre-show if you catch us live on YouTube. We also have a podcast audio stream and all that stuff with that James swears is superior. I think you should watch us live on video, but hey. And then the other thing I want to promote is Anti-Work, r/Anti-Work. I moderate it. I'm user/AbolishWork. Pretty straightforward stuff right there. If you want to go check us out, check out what the movement's about. I don't know how much further the interviews is going to go, but at some damn point, we're going to get somehow bigger than the New York Times. I don't know how much bigger you can really do than that, but we're internationally famous at this point. People from the Dutch and Scandinavian areas are now reaching out. So who knows what's next for us and for me. A pirate walks into a bar with a steering wheel on his crotch. And the bartender says, what's the steering wheel for? He says, it's driving me nuts. There you go. And that's from Uncharted 4, one of the best video games of all time. Thank you. I will not be taking questions at this time.
For those keeping track at home, we reached a grand total of 23 bells. That's 23 jokes/puns from our Bell of the Ball this episode. Dory Ford. Dory, thank you again. But the red light's on its last call. Let's figure out what we learned here today. We learned that the true definition of anarchy is putting pasta in between bread. And if that makes me wrong, well, gosh darn it, I just don't want to be right. We learned that if you're trapped in a bathroom, you have to get very creative to get out. I mean, me personally, I just would have sent a buddy an AIM message and been on my way. But hey, maybe I'm old-fashioned. We learn that some of Taylor Swift's exes do deserve breakup songs. We learn that Marshmallow Peeps are just too darn sweet. And we learn that Andrew Garfield's handsomeness knows no bounds. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a Wikipedia rabbit hole for Voltairine de Cleyre that I need to go down. It'll probably take me about 2 weeks to get myself out just in time for our next episode. So until then, thank you and good night.